Hey, it's Rob. It was an amazing week of Survivor, and we had incredible podcasts with Christian Hubicki and Steven on the Know-It-Alls. Make sure you catch those as well. Plus, The Circle was back this week with an AI contestant. Taryn, Mike Bloom, and Puya broke down the first week of drops from The Circle and on Renap. Who did Sam Moore find for the big guest? Find out on this week's Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast, all right here on RHAP. We know reality TV.
Hello everyone, and welcome to RHAP's coverage of Survivor South Africa Immunity Island. I'm your host Shannon Guss, here in the postseason for another deep dive. And I'm really excited about this one because I think a lot of people are going to be excited. She is someone that we call the protagonist at times throughout the season, which I think is truly fitting. I mean, look at Twitter. They will agree that this woman was such a standout on the season. And I'm so excited to welcome in the great Santini Engelbrecht. Santini, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me, Shannon. I'm super excited about this.
I have to have you because I still feel so bad that I took away half of your auction money and how upset you were about that. It weighs on my soul and my conscience. So even obviously we had to have you because you are such a star of the season. But even without that, like, I have to repay my debt.
Thank you. Yeah, that was a bad day.
Just like watching it happen to you, like seeing like a decision, a tiny little decision that could be made that was affecting you so poorly. I turned to my husband and I was like, this is crushing my soul. Like, I truly felt really bad about that.
That was probably one of the worst days for me in this show. But I'm not blaming you at all. I love twists and stuff like that. So, yeah, it was painful going through it, but it's good for the show.
Yeah, well, Santini, like, you get it. I mean, we heard in your preseason stuff that you are, like, such a big fan and that you'd applied, was it four times, like, over 10 years to be on the show?
No.
Like, talk to me about your fandom, how you got into Survivor, and that whole process of continuing to put yourself through and putting yourself out there into the application process before it actually worked.
Yeah, I remember watching the first season, like most people. Some of the cast wasn't even born when the first US season went on air, but I remember it so well, Richard and everyone. I mean, I just fell in love with the concept and the show, and I pretty much watched all of the seasons from there on, up until the point where I think I started working, there was a few that I did miss, but I was just so in love with it. And from the first season I watched, I always said I wanted to do this. I want to be on there. I loved it so much. I remember in the beginning, I'm not sure if you couldn't enter if you weren't 18 or actually 21. So I remember back in the day, I even entered my dad just to have someone on there that I know. When I got the chance to enter, I think the first time I entered was just an online entry. It was before videos. You could just enter online, but I was never called for audition, so that was that. But I think that was also maybe the season of the All Celebrities. I'm not such a massive fan knowing the I am a massive fan, but I don't keep those information or the information well to say whatever season was when. But anyway, and then after that one, I went to an open call where they told me that Ashley Hayden would eat me alive, and I am too big of a softie to do well in Survivor. So that was that. And then for season 7, I entered the video. I sent my video and I got through to the second round. I made another video. And yeah, I didn't make it. I was very annoyed while watching season 7, knowing that I got so close. But now looking back, I'm so, so happy that I got on season 8 with this amazing cast and it being in South Africa. So, I don't know what else about the audition process. It's stressful because you don't know what they want you to do. And then eventually you realize you just need to be yourself. And then that works.
Yeah, like you were clearly getting closer and closer, getting more traction, obviously getting ready for season 7. Is there like one thing that you feel that you like specifically changed in the way that you were going about it to actually get cast, or it really was just being yourself and opening up in that way?
No, I personally think it's the universe. It wasn't my time on season 7 or all the previous times. So for me, it's the universe. I think everything happens for a reason. I mean, if you look at people like Kieran that entered once and got on once, it was the right time. So for me, I think I don't think I did much different. My second audition video, obviously, made a lot of effort with, and I shot it over a year. So once I saw that I didn't make it for season 7, that following day I started working on my video for the next season. So, but yeah, I think it's just a case of it was the right time.
Yeah, I mean, you get in and this is like so much the weight of expectation. I can't imagine what that would be like after years and years of loving the show and auditioning. What was your prep like? What were you kind of looking to the show, thinking like, how am I going to prepare for this? And then what were you expecting going in? What were your hopes for the season?
Well, it was quite difficult to prep because I was quite sick. It's actually so weird how it worked out because we were supposed to go in March, as far as I know, and then it was postponed because of COVID. And in that time, I had two massive operations. I had my, what is it in English? One organ removed. I can't remember what the name is. And then I had very bad endometriosis and it grew, it kind of grew over my colon and twisted it. So I had to, I had like 20 centimeters of my colon removed.
Oh my gosh.
And I was very sick in that time. So preparation wise, when it came to the physical stuff, I probably, even if I weren't sick, I probably wouldn't have gotten to gym and those kinds of things because it's not really me. But I watched, obviously watching a lot of Survivor, just rewatching a lot of them was mainly how I prepared and just kind of mentally preparing, having long chats with my sister that's such a big fan and knows the game so well, and also with my partner, just making sure everyone's on the same page. So going in to the game, I really had their support. So they all said, Santini, don't play a boring game. Just be yourself. We're proud of you regardless. Just go and have fun. And I think that was really important for me, knowing that, because I think when you play as a big fan of the show, you have these the pressures from outside and also internally the pressures to perform well in terms of a game level instead of, I don't know, if you look at someone like Dino or Jason as super fans, you kind of can get into that little bracket where you overthink stuff, or I don't know if that makes sense because
no,
I've
definitely
also seen that in previous seasons. But it's so cool. So while we were in quarantine, waiting to go on the island, we all had a journal, and I just pulled it out now, and I wrote a bunch of words down and sentences, and a few of the stuff that I wrote was, your realness will be disarming, and another thing that I wrote was, you need loyalty more than strength, and another one that I wrote is an unlikely alliance, and I put NB next to it. So obviously I had these plans that I already forgot about. And another one last thing was, while we were in quarantine, we got to watch a few of the Survivor seasons, and we watched the Australian All-Stars, and David really inspired me.
I told him that you and a lot of the cast really liked him.
Yes, I really enjoyed because it's the first time I saw a player like that. I don't know. I just love the way his entertainment level in his confessionals, but also the way he worked with like secret alliances and being double agent and all those kinds of things. I just love the way he played. And And I mean, I'm giving a lot, I will give, always give a lot of credit to him for the kind of game I played, because if I didn't watch that season, I wouldn't have actually played the game that I eventually ended up playing.
There you go. It makes sense that you guys were watching that in quarantine, because it seemed, yeah, top of mind for a lot of people in the interviews that we did preseason. No. So that makes a lot of sense. And Dave is definitely like a influential, larger than life figure. So I totally understand that. And I feel like that, you know, he played a big game and you played a big game. So for sure, I see like some synergy there. But you're going to get onto Vuna. And this will be the only tribe that you, I mean, you go to tribal council, but you go to Immunity Island. All your tribes go to a lot of tribal councils. You have a very rough pre-merge, I will say.
I think I'm the one that jinxed it.
No. I mean, look, it wasn't great. I think, like, you got saved from that one Immunity Island. I think, like, only Warada had, like, more painful stats pre-merge than you. It was a lot, like, you know, compared to some of these other people who went to tribal council a couple of times in the pre-merge, like, you were there, like, every night.
Yes.
Yeah, so this tribe, we're not actually going to see, again, you truly go to tribal council because you're immune from Immunity Island, but I want to get a sense of, like, where you fell in these dynamics, because we didn't actually get to see you vote. So where do you feel your relationships were in the very early days? Where do you feel you had, like, some very immediate bonds, or even, like, some early poorer relationships? Like, where did you fall on either side of that?
You know what? I think the first 3 days, and especially maybe the first 2 days, was probably the worst days on the island. And I just want to start this deep dive by just also saying, this is all from my perspective. I don't know how other people perceived it, but from my perspective, I really was the odd girl out on that Vuna tribe. I really didn't fit in, because I was 10 years older than everyone else. Warda was also the same age, but she lied, including lying to me about her age. So everyone also thought she was 28. So I was, besides the fact that I was the oldest, I was obviously, very obviously, the most unfit and maybe more on the bigger side. So, and very Afrikaans and very weird. So I really didn't feel like I fit in at all. I felt a bit like I had the plague or something, because people were kind of avoiding being seen with me by themselves, because I think all eyes were on me to vote me off first, because it's the easiest first boot. I mean, I was quite emotional in those first 2 days, because I never realized I was going to be the oldest person in my tribe, because going into Survivor, knowing the game so well, you kind of expect someone in their 50s or maybe the odd person in their 60s to be there. So that was really a mind shift that I needed to make. So, yeah, I just tried to keep a low profile, and my mission, I was the water girl. So I just always went to the water well and went to go and fill everyone's water, because I knew that will give me excuse going forward if I do go there often, whether it's to speak strategy to someone or looking for idols. It wouldn't be such a weird occurrence, because I always go to the well. So that's what I did. Someone that I liked in the beginning a lot was Paul. I really enjoyed his sense of humor. I liked his vibe. Someone like Tyson actually also reached out to me. The rest, and then obviously the obvious person was Chappies. Mm-hmm. Everyone knows this story, but in the first 5 minutes when we met, we both realized that we come from the same hometown. Mm-hmm. We both grew up in Witbank, but we never met each other. And also that we both lost someone very close to us to suicide. So there was very good bond, but it wasn't in terms of gameplay. It was just two people that liked each other, but no one really spoke to a strategy to me up until I think maybe day two or whatever Warda approached me. But looking back, it was kind of all just probably to call me. I don't know if that makes sense. It wasn't real strategy talk, so I was definitely on the outs. So to answer your question, in that first, I think maybe, is it okay if I just go a little bit back?
Yeah, definitely.
To the first, so to the, I just want to go back to the first immunity challenge that we as Vuna won. I remember it so well when we needed to decide who was going to go to Immunity Island. someone, Adino's name came up and I couldn't understand why, but now watching it back, it was because he asked Paul for help. But anyway, so Adino's name came up and they were all kind of keen to send Dino. And then I said, no, we need to send the weakest player so that it keeps their tribe weak. That in a strategy was something that I did on purpose because I knew if the tables were turned and we create this,
trend, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, trend, then I would be sent next. And
I
luckily
that
worked out for me.
Mm.
And I'm just so grateful for Immunity Island because I think I would have been voted off first just because it would have been an easy vote and a non-emotional vote because they didn't really connect with me on the same kind of levels. But luckily, Pinty was quite a strong-willed person that she did rub people up the wrong way. So I wasn't surprised in that first vote when she was voted off.
Yeah, Immunity Island is definitely really helpful here for a few reasons. I love that intentionality in you creating that trend and then getting it right back, and that worked like a charm. So they send you to Immunity Island, and I guess there's no chance that you're going to give up and go here. You win an idol clue to the idol at Tribal Council. You find a second clue as well. So a couple of questions on this. The first would just be like, how are you feeling in this moment, kind of being possibly down and out to safe with a bunch of clues and a bunch of potential? And also in the idol clue at Tribal Council, like, we kept wondering why you weren't kind of taking it from where it lived at Tribal Council. Did you get the impression that no one else would be able to compete for it? Did you feel like it was your idol that just lived at Tribal Council, or were you kind of just waiting for some reason to take it out, even though possibly someone else could have gotten a clue to that idol?
Just on that idol clue, because I won it in that Immunity Island challenge, I assumed that that was mine,
right,
and no one else would know about it. So for me to get it out of there without anyone seeing, for me, felt impossible. And also, then if you have it, you do have the chance of someone looking in your bag and knowing that you have it. So for me, it was just a case of leaving it there so that it's safe. I was quite nervous because there was a little sign at the top of the little log that it was in that I was scared someone might notice. But I just went on blind faith by leaving that one there. I don't know if it's answering your question.
No, definitely, yeah. Because we were wondering kind of like what the sense was about how much it was yours. So that definitely answers that.
I think after those first two or three days, I just realized, you know what, I'm here by myself. I've dreamt about being on Survivor for so long. I'm not going to get the fact that I'm the oldest and the most unfit get me under. But then when I did get the clue and that additional or the idol, it kind of gave me license to play without fear. Because I knew I had something in my back pocket and that helped me play with more confidence. Compared to how I felt before I got them.
Yeah. So, I mean, this idol is going to be important, not in ways that you will find it, the one back in camp, but you do tell Paul to tell Tyson about the idol at the swap. So you said Tyson had reached out to you and that you had a good relationship with Paul. So I guess that makes sense of that. So what are you thinking with all the idols here? Because as well, you go to Zumba, they could have been an idol there. Like, we heard a lot of your thoughts around all of the idol chaos that was happening in this pre-merge. So elaborate for us on how this was happening, pulling these plans together, and how the Zumba idol somehow went unfound until Tyson came for it.
So after that Immunity Island visit, and I got the clue and I got that idol, when I got back to Vuna, I was looking for it by myself, and then Paul kind of caught me. And then I knew I wasn't going to be able to find it by myself because you need a lookout. And that's why I told Chappies. But I also told Chappies because I needed some leverage so that someone trusts me and I can start building a future alliance. So everyone's like, why are you telling everyone? But information is power. So I use that to get Chappies on my side by telling him and also keeping the fact that I've got the other idol, a tribal, for myself. So it was nice to have one part to barter with and the other one to keep a secret. Then when it was the tribe swap, for me, my default setting just went to keep our original Vuna safe, and they were in the minority, so I knew they have to be saved because it's pointless me keeping the idle clue to myself and they just pick Tyson, Kieran and Anesi off. So that was a big mission for me. And while we were sitting there, I tried to figure out how to get the message across. And the only person that I figured, because he was aligned to Chappies, was Paul, to make sure that he goes up against Tyson, because that was the key, to get someone that will go up against one of our former Vuna people in that challenge. And if I remember correct, I don't think Kieran or Anesh in any case participated in that challenge. Mm-hmm. If I'm not mistaken. But anyway, so yeah, Paul was very upset. They showed a bit of that conversation of him telling why I didn't asking me why I didn't tell him. So it was a big mission just to get him to give the message to Tyson. And afterwards, I heard that Paul didn't even like Tyson and Tyson didn't like Paul. So Tyson was very surprised that Paul gave him this clue. Anyway, so when we got back to the new Zamba camp, I really was under the impression that Teresa already found it. Because Sean and Amy and Anela told us that all Teresa was doing was looking for idols all day. And there was a bunch of digging like holes around the water well. So I just assumed she got it. And, I mean, digging for one without being caught is quite difficult. So, yeah, I shouldn't have assumed, but I assumed she just got it. And I kind of maybe didn't go look for it because I didn't want to raise suspicion as much. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Hopefully that makes sense.
No, for sure. I mean, yeah, there's a risk-reward there, the reward being the idol, but the risk, obviously, of being seen and you've started off possibly on shaky ground and you're kind of probably hoping not to, you know, sound some alarms. And I definitely get that. I mean, you get to a new tribe and even with, you know, the one idol tribal council, but without the camp idol, you get yourself into a great spot. You're there with Paul and Chappies, who you said that you'd had relationships with. There are some people on the other side for Vuna who are in trouble, Carla and Mike and Warda to a degree. And then you've got these new Zumbas in Smash, Sean and Amy. So what was your perspective on the dynamics? And we know that those relationships are going to be so important. You know, a relationship like Amy, for example, and Smash is there for your whole time in the game. So what was your perspective on these new relationships and the dynamics at this new Zumba?
So, I mean, this was the ideal scenario for me because I was a free agent. But going into that first tribe swap, my mission was still to keep us Vuna strong. But then Carla and Mike started with talks about gunning for Paul and Chappies. And then I realized, no, this is not going to work for me. And they were quite adamant that they were going to go for Paul or Chappies and rather go with the three former or the Sean, Anela, and Amy. Mm-hmm. And then I realized because Paul and Chappies were both not aware of the fact that this was happening. So what happened in that case was I told Warda, Carla, and Mike that I will be playing. I'll play double agent there already to make sure Chappies and them feel safe and help them to get them out. But actually, what I did was to tell Chappies that this is the situation and that he and Paul need to make a big effort with Amy and Anela and Sean because they are in the driver's seat. They can pick what side they can go with. When it comes to Amy and Anela and Sean, when I got there on the first day of that tribe swap, Amy, Sean and Anela was such a breath of fresh air for me because they were, obviously because they were in the minority, they were super nice and they were really awesome people that I kind of regretted not being on a tribe from the beginning with because they really reached out to me and they were super nice. And for me, I'm easy. If you're nice and you treat me like you're equal, then you can get a lot done with me. But I really had a very good connection with Amy and with Sean because they were both older. And I realized that Amy knows what she's doing. She is very clever and this is the kind of player I want to play with, someone that knows the game and sees me as my equal, as her equal. So yeah, then Chappies and Paul started putting on the charm, and Mike made Amy upset about something, and then they made that call.
Yeah, and that works out really well. Obviously, your key allies from Runa are now in power, and you have these new people that you're working with that you're going to work with through all of the next votes. But after Mike goes, you're going to flip again to Paul. So, yes. You know, you're a big part of this. It is a flip from you and the Zumbas. So I'm interested in a lot about this. I mean, we've heard kind of like, you know, about Paul's kind of, you know, maybe eating everyone out of house and home. And but it still was a flip against someone you'd had a relationship with, as you're saying. There's Chappies being blindsided in this, and you guys are going to be like such a strong duo. So where did you see this vote going with Paul, and how did it happen that way?
Well, I said it also in the episode that I really wanted to break up the pairs.
Yeah.
Because I was always the third wheel in someone's life. It felt like it. So once we got rid of Mike, then you had obviously Carla and Wada that were very tight. They didn't make a secret of it. And you had Paul and Chappies that were always off somewhere fishing and doing whatever. And Paul didn't really engage with me a lot on a strategic level. He really didn't give me the time of day, really. So I wanted to break him and Chappies up because I wanted to work with Chappies, but I knew I would always be the third wheel if Paul was there. It was cool that Paul did eat a lot, and he was kind of all over the place when it came to the food. But for me, it was really to break them up because it's someone that I couldn't necessarily work with because they didn't see me as on the same level as they saw themselves because Paul is very fit and he's very much on the physical side. He kind of, again, I'm just using words to describe my feelings, but he kind of looked down on me because I wasn't a physical player. So that was the one thing about Paul. And also Amy and Anela actually wanted to gun for Chappies. They were on a mission to gun for Chappies. So I knew I also had to find a way to deflect it from Chappies. So I remember very well these conversations. It was a toss between Chappies and Paul and Chappies and Paul, and how I worked my ass off to convince them that Paul will create chaos if we vote Chappies off before him. Mm. Luckily, Sean was also keen on rather going with Paul because we could use Chappies as a meat shield. So what was cool in this stage of the game was people knew I was close to Chappies, even though we didn't really spend a lot of time together. They knew we were close and I liked him, but I always told them I like him as a person and we like each other as people, but we are not playing together. So I managed to keep our relationship under wraps quite well in that stage of the game.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
For nearly four decades, J&K Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started J&K Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. J&K Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
it feels like you were doing so much here through this vote and beyond it to maintain everything that was going on, as you're saying, keeping the target off Chappies. And then we kind of spoke to Chappies in the deep dive, but like placating Chappies to a degree once he's been blindsided. Smash is voting with them as well. Like, I feel like you were a part of all of these conversations, just kind of putting your touch on everything to see this vote go through. Like, can you speak a bit to that, like, strategic maintenance?
It was so hard because I literally had to look Chappies in the eye and lie to him. And Carlisle wasn't really trusting me at that point because we blindsided them with the mic vote. So it was so hard to get both sides convinced. Convinced Chappies that we were going to vote off Carla, I think, and then convinced Carla that I was going to stick to the vote for Paul. That was quite a tense time in my game for myself personally. It really took a lot out of me having to do that. But I knew at the end it would still benefit. It is still beneficial to Chappies because it's not him. So I can sell it in that way because it was the truth. Because it would have been him if it wasn't Paul. So I still picked him over Paul, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean,
am I answering your question?
No, definitely, definitely. I mean, this is a lot that you're doing here, and I know, like, we were really impressed with it. Like, it's flip flopping, and it's a lot really early on as well. It's going to come back from Paul to Carla. So, as someone again who was so instrumental in this tribe, like, what work are you doing here to get out your target? You know, making sure it isn't someone like Chappies. Like, how do that the dynamics flip so that it's now back to Carla after she was just part of the core vote?
It was actually just, I mean, if I watch it back and when I thought back, I really felt so confident in that time of the game because everyone's kind of pushed me to the side. Now I was kind of instrumental and I could pick off whoever I wanted, which I loved. Mm. And that's a kind of game I love watching. I remember just before I answer your question, I was very emotional in these votes. And I remember I told the one content producer in my confessionals, I said, I feel so guilty. I really feel so guilty about this. And he's like, do you feel guilty if you take someone's pawn in chess? And I'm like, no. And that kind of switched it on for me that I know everyone says it's a game, but it really switched on for me that it's really a game and this is my game and I'm going to not let my emotions affect the way I play because I have been trying to get on the show for so long and I'm such a big fan that if I was watching, what kind of moves would I want to see and also what would be the best for my game going forward. So when it came to Carla, I mean, you see in the edit, Carla was also very suspicious of me. What I think got to me specifically that one, I was always kind of thinking of either Carla or Warda, but what swayed it was when Carla came back from Immunity Island and she lied about the reward. Mm-hmm. She lied with such a good straight face that I believed her. And even afterwards when she told me she actually was lying, I was so shocked that someone is able to lie with such a straight face. And that kind of planted a lot of doubt in me and also made me realize what an awesome player she is. That she can really look you in the eye and spin a story with so much detail. That was very scary for me. And then I looked at the two of them, Warda and Carla. Warda is kind of a what you see is what you get kind of person. I'm also a Scorpio like Warda, and I could read her well. Where someone like Carla is way more difficult to read. And that's why she was way more dangerous than Warda. And she has a very good flirting game. So she's very good with that. And I thought that would be a problem going forward. And because her and Wanda are so tight, I needed to break them up.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
making sense?
Yeah, no, I mean, it made a lot of sense. But I think at the time as well, like Carla was, you know, she was doing some impressive stuff. So it made a lot of sense to take her out. And as someone who, again, was really driving a lot of these votes, you talked about breaking up the pairs. Like, had you not swapped after that tribal council, had you continued on and gone to another tribal council in this tribe, where do you think it would have gone? Would you have picked off someone like a Warada, or would you have been coming for the Zumbas at a point?
No, for me, for all of us, it was actually Warada. I can't recall. I mean, me and Warada have had an up and down ride. I think at that stage, I was so close with Sean and Amy and Anela already. And Chappies, I mean, it was kind of a no-brainer that it would have been Warada, because we weren't as close. And, you know, it's just a energy that I didn't necessarily gravitate towards all the time. We had our ups and downs, but it would have definitely been Warada. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure she'll tell you that too. She mm-hmm. kind of knew.
Yeah, interesting. I mean, you guys are going to swap, which will take her to a position of power, which will make it to the merge. But before you do, there was this challenge right before the swap, this reward challenge with like the water and how scary that was. And like, you could see through the rest of the game, even like how traumatizing that had been for you. And Chappie saved you, which I'm sure was also helpful for your relationship. So can you talk through that experience? Because that felt like it was beyond the game.
You know what the weirdest thing is? We all think we can swim. I mean, I have a pool. We've got a pool. You all think you can swim. But it's another story when it's so cold and you're swimming in a river. So I never really thought I had an issue with water up until I had to swim that day. And I remember it was so cold the first time I had to swim. But I thought I'll be able to do it. And then as I jumped in and I started swimming, I realized I can't, like, I'm physically, my legs didn't want to move. Nothing wanted to work. And that's when I started panicking. And luckily, Chappies came to save me. But I've never felt that kind of fear in my life before, because, I mean, I've said this also in the past. I mean, we know there's the lifeguards. We know all of this. But because of that murky waters, I really doubt that they would have reached us in time. And that fear, real, real life-threatening fear, I haven't actually experienced in my life before. So that kind of traumatized me once that was done. And then when we had to swim again, I was so close. I mean, I like keeping it real. So I'm going to tell you, this was the closest I felt to wanting to quit. And I would never, I mean, you don't quit is like the biggest swear word in Survivor. And it's just to illustrate to you how massive this fear was after the first time. I really was looking around, looking for a producer, looking for someone to say, I just can't. My body will not be able to, I won't be able even to jump off there and swim again. So I'm just so thankful for Nico and everyone, the other tribe too, that kind of made me feel okay and saying nice things and encouraging me. And yeah, and then Warada swimming next to me. But what was cool when I did that swim, I actually realized that it's not that bad. Like, it was very scary, but it was good to go and swim again to just get over that fear. Otherwise, I probably would have never gotten into water again after Survivor.
Wow. Yeah, that is a lot. Like, it's great that you – I mean, it's not great that you got the fear from Survivor, but then you conquered it as well on Survivor. So yes. It was like a self-saving
yes.
problem.
Yes.
It had, like, social implications, because as you're saying, like, you know, Warada helps you later on, and – you are going to swap here to another tribe that has Warada on it after, you know, some of the uncomfortableness around voting out Carla and her being like the presumptive next boot. Tyson is there, and we can definitely talk about that with the idol. Kieran is someone you haven't mentioned as much, but obviously you're with him on Vuna. Smash comes with you as well. He's not going to be able to be voted for, but he will be with you on the tribe. And then there's Keon and Dino, who you hadn't met yet. So what is the dynamic here? Because we definitely, you know, you're in power again. Vuna kind of consolidates something through this, but it felt like you play an idol and then you seem like clearly quite anxious about the situation. So how are you feeling through this tribe generally?
Oh, this was a hectic time in my Survivor journey. But one thing that I actually kind of appreciate, because that's part of Survivor. One day you're on top and the next day you're at the bottom. So what happened with the second tribe swap, there was a challenge right after that. And Tyson, I'm like, yay, Tyson. And he's like, I played an idol. like, did you play Idol? I sent you that clue. And he was so surprised. And you could see he really appreciated it. And I realized, okay, cool. I've got some credit there, because he kind of owes me his life in a weird way, because I was the one that sent him the clue. So I knew, okay, good. Then when we got to the Zamba camp, I made sure I rubbed it in a lot that I gave him the clue, and I made sure I followed him everywhere, because he said it must be here somewhere. So that's why I was there when he found it. I was a bit annoyed, but I also was glad that I saw him getting it. So that was a very stressful time for me, because I knew that they were Kieran and Tyson was with Dino and Kion in the other tribe, in the Vuna. Mm-hmm. So I knew I was in massive danger, and that's also why I told Tyson about the fact that I do have an idol. And that's why I think he pushed that they rather keep me and vote for Dino. I know his motivation was that Dino voted for him in that vote that he had to play his idol. But I think it did help just secure that vote, him knowing that I've got an idol, if that makes sense. And, I mean, it was hard because Warda and Tyson were very close, and Tyson and Kieran were very close, so I was very much on the outs. And also it kind of got to me when the Vuna sent Smash to Immunity Island, because that was the first sign for me from Amy and Sean's side that they probably prefer Anela over me. So they just, for future reference, that's where the first seeds of doubt was sowed for me when it came to Sean and Amy.
Yeah, and that's going to make way for this, like, really big Vuna-Zamba divide at the merge, when you had been working with Zamba so closely through the former tribe. But this is all kind of Vuna strong, voting out Dino and Kion, who had been just with Zamba, with the original Zamba the whole time. And, yeah, you play your idol. You kind of mentioned it on the show, but you, like, didn't want to go home with one. You'd rather kind of incorrectly play one. So what was that like?
You know what? The thing that happened there was, it's so weird how rumors get spread on Survivor. But I don't know if you remember the Fresh Stop Challenge when Dino and Marisha beat Chappies and Warda. Mm-hmm. At that challenge, they could pick 10 items for the tribe. And I don't know how word got back to us that they only came back with 9 items. So we all were suspicious of that.
Oh, my gosh. Of course, on the season, they stole some of the rewards.
No, they apparently now, afterwards, we heard they just miscounted and they only took 9 instead of 10.
Right.
But everyone thought that Dino must have gotten some clue or some idol or something. Mm-hmm. And when at that tribal council, Dino was looking at his bag the whole time, and he wasn't looking as nervous as I would expect him to be. So that's why I thought, you know what, there's such a good chance of him maybe pulling something out, maybe something that he can play off to the votes or whatever. So I just thought, you know what, I've already told Tyson about it. I've already screwed up this idol by telling Tyson, so I might as well just flush it out, play it, and just be 100% sure I don't go home if Dino plays something funny.
Mm. Tyson isn't going to vote you out, and, you know, again, you are saved here by Vuna as they continue to send Smash. So through this tribe and getting into the merge, like, what are your plans for the merge? We see it as kind of a murky situation when the merge actually happens, which we'll talk about, but are you looking at wanting to stay with Vuna? Like, are you looking to wanting to flip back to those relationships? I feel like we heard kind of a bit of either side of that, but for this tribe, you are with Vuna.
Well, it was tough. You know what it was? I think that second tribe swap when Amy and Sean went to Vuna, and I saw how close Amy was with the two girls, even though she promised me, Sean and Anela, that she would break up the girls and she's not with them, she's with us. I just saw that relationship from afar. And then when it came to merge, just before merge, there's just something I want to tell you. So before merge, we knew it was merge and Kion was voted off. I was in a state because I realized if we have to go to another tribal council, I was going to be voted off because I don't have an idol, I don't have anything. So my plan was to actually get Chappies to give me his immunity. What's that?
Diplomatic immunity.
And then jump ship if there wasn't a merge. But luckily, yeah, the merge was there. So going into the merge, I obviously knew I wanted to stay loyal to Chappies. But also, I really, really wanted to go to the end with Amy, Anela, and Sean. That was our plan, because we actually have been together now the longest, I think. So that was my plan all along, is once we get to merge, our plan on paper was we get rid of Dina, okay, tick. It was now separate from each other, but Dina is gone. Good. Sean always wanted Dina gone. Then the plan was when we merge, the first vote is to break up the three girls. And then we can take it from there. But with the merge, I remember I had a conversation with Sean at the water well. And he said to me, I said, okay, cool. Are we still with the plan? We're going to break up the girls. And then he's like, no, no, no. We must keep the girls up until 7, which meant, I'm going to just get my numbers right. It means I'm 7. So they're technically just going to use me to vote off the Vunas, and then I'm going to be at the bottom. So that didn't really make sense. And then when Marusha at the at the merge feast said, don't worry, we'll keep you till 7. Or we'll keep you, that kind of affirmated that for me already.
Yes.
And Amy was kind of in her girls' club again. So I realized, Shivit, this is not going to work for me. So the plan in my head was actually, I'm going to go with the blind side. This blind side was just so beautifully executed by everyone, because you needed to have Tyson's idol. Mm-hmm. You needed to have me that got the information to figure out who they were going to vote for, and then also use me to sow the wrong information by telling them they are going to vote for Nicole if it wasn't the case. And then also Chappies having to pretend to be very scared and in danger and looking for an idol. So that was just the beautiful plan. Yes. But I was very much in two about that, because I knew I was going to betray Amy, Sean, and Anela. But in my head, after this vote, like Chappies and Warda did, they would understand why I did what I did, and we could just go on with our alliance. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that makes sense.
Yes.
So I was very shocked after the merge vote and that blind side that they were so angry and so upset with me, because it was just changing the order in when someone's going to go home, whether they're going to go home from 7 upwards or now. Us 4 are still strong, but they didn't see it that way.
It's really fascinating hearing about this 4 being so crucial. I mean, obviously it makes sense because it defines that first swap tribe, but I feel like it wasn't really given to us as much as like a cornerstone of the dynamics. We saw it much more as Vuna and Zumba. So it makes so much more sense around some things we're going to see later on, like your relationship with Amy, for example, and some of those like interpersonal relationships. I feel like we missed a lot of that.
Yeah, that was a pity, but I mean, they have so much that they need to show. Mm. But yeah, Amy and I were very close. And I always say that in my interviews, I'm very close with Chappies, but Chappies was never around. He was always busy fishing and doing his thing.
At the diner,
where Amy and I really had such a close bond, but she really, didn't handle it well, but she didn't take it well, that betrayal, which I understand, and the same with Sean. So what Yeah, I don't know, from answering your question.
No, for sure. I mean, look, the merge, like, as you said, it was a thing of beauty. It was amazing to watch Vuna get it done, and you play the double agent here. I have some questions about where you sit, maybe more specifically, in playing the double agent here. We see you eventually give the name that it's going to be Nicole, perfect double agent play, probably a big, strong reason that they play an idol on Nicole and that you guys can get out your target, so that was absolutely essential. We also see you tell them all before that about Tyson's idol. Now, was this part of a double agent play, or was this like a more emotional decision, or at that point did you feel that you were Zumba strong in with more the Amy, Smash, and Sean crew? Like, how did it come for you to disseminate the information about Tyson's idol?
I can't remember the sequence of events, but I do know that if you want to play, and I'm probably giving away my future game, but if you want to play double agent, you need to share information both ways, both sides. I mean, they won't trust you as a double agent if you do not volunteer information. And I would like to think that it was after we decided that we're going to play Tyson's idol for Chappies, but I can't really recall that specifically. But I probably was a bit in two minds, maybe, of who I wanted to go with, because I did want to go with the Sean and Amy's. I held out hope that maybe we could do something there. But I think the main thing, by sharing the information about Tyson's idols, I wanted to share it with them before he uses that information to get more clout by sharing it himself. I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, there's a lot of information going around, and you are really, like, at the cornerstone of so much of that. And, like, being a double agent in this, we've heard from some of the other people we see it on the show, like, Inesu continues to vote as a double agent, and you out your vote. And this didn't seem to be something that you struggled with a little bit coming back from that vote, and the emotions kind of all being piled on you and not on Inesu. Like, how did it get decided for you that you would out your double agent number there where Inesu wouldn't? And can you talk us through the feelings of the chaos that came back from the fallout of that vote?
Yeah, it was very hectic. So for me, it was a case of if they split the votes, if they didn't put all their votes on Chappies and they split the votes, and Inesu didn't vote for the way she was supposed to, it could have backfired badly. Because they're not showing this on the edit, but before we went, we did decide that she was also going to vote with us for Nicole. So that was hard for us all to take. And it was especially hard for me because, and I mean, I do regret outing her to Nicole, but I did find it very interesting that she still wanted to keep that double agent thing going, because for me, it felt a bit more to protect herself so that she can jump either way going forward. And maybe, I mean, it was a bit of a vicious thing to do. I'm not very proud of it, but I'm still glad I kind of did it, because I don't know, it was hard for me to be the only one taking all the flack. And when we got back, there wasn't a lot of support for me. I mean, Sean, okay, so on the night we came back from Tribal, there was a big fight. Everyone was screaming. Everyone was fighting. Nicole asked us who we were voting for. People were really, like, going off about the fact that we saved someone like Chappies that at that stage they didn't really have a lot of respect for. Because of stuff that he said, just because of like the language barrier or the ignorance or whatever. So it was very hard, and they were really all blaming me, and the rest of the people were all just going on with their daily business, and I was literally having to take all the shit. And but I mean, it was valid, but I just felt a bit isolated at that stage. I don't know. I'm going to ask this every time after I answer a question. Does it make sense?
Yes, no.
My go-to thing.
It all makes perfect sense, especially, you know, you are playing such a complicated game at this point, but it makes a lot of sense to me. I'm really interested in the war between these two different groups that you were in, especially now knowing how close you were with some of those Zumbas and how much of a four that was. If they had offered you a different target, if it had been you know, I mean, look, everyone ends up kind of half being immune, but even if it had been like an Inesu or Wara ends up being immune, or, you know, we'll vote for Tyson, he'll play his idol and someone else. I mean, it ends up being Chappie, who's obviously such a key ally to you, but it's also not the girls, one of the girls that you had wanted it to be. So had they offered, you know, had they come to you and said, hey, we're going to take out someone like an Inesu or some other middle Vuna person, would you have gone with that in order to kind of preserve relationships with the four that you had? Or was it kind of like, if you're not going with the girls, we're clearly not on something, I'm seventh and I'm going, you know, Vuna strong?
Yeah. No, I wouldn't have gone for any other Vuna person, because I was also in 2 minds, like, rather the devil, you know. Mm. And I mean, I didn't have a relationship with Rainier. I didn't have a relationship with Marisha. I didn't have a relationship with Nicole. So it had to be one of those three people for me to make sure that they're really not Zamba, like Zamba OG heavy, if that makes sense. It needed to be one of the girls. I always knew they were never going to go for Rainier, because it was Sean and Anela was very close to Rainier. I never knew Amy was so close with Rainier. But no, it didn't matter that they suggested Chappies. It was the fact that they went back on the plan that we initially discussed. Our biggest strategy was break up the girls. And again, for me, it's very important to break up pairs. It's important if you've got a threesome in the girls, because that meant Amy could jump either way. Because if you've got the two girls on the one side and you've got Sean, Rainier and Anela on the other side, I mean, she can jump if she just gets another number. So it makes it easier for her. So at the end, she would have more numbers than I would have. Yeah. And no, it would never have been any of the Vuna people. The only way I would have been happy was if it was one of the girls. Pretty much Nicole Marisha, which eventually was the person we voted out. So that's why I thought they would be happy, because it was technically part of the plan we already made while we were in the first Zamba together.
Yeah, and being a pawn for Zamba is not what Dave would do, right? Like WWDD,
yes.
That's the whole thing.
Yes.
Like, you're going to go and be a double agent and do the ball of plan. You're not going to just like fall into line and be seventh, which everyone is telling you basically that you'll be. So for sure, I totally get that. But it does seem like a big fracture then, from what we're hearing, is like such a close relationship. You know, the relationship with Amy is particularly interesting to me, because, I mean, I love you both, but just seeing kind of that fallout and what's going to end up becoming the Sean vote, someone that you'd worked with so closely. But was it palpable, like, that fracture? Because it felt like a lot of the next episode was them, like, apologizing to you for what had gone down. So it must have been, like, pretty dramatic.
Sure, it was hectic. Sean went around and told everyone that I told them about the Marisha blindside, which I never did. He was literally on a mission, having meetings with every single person on that tribe except me, telling them how bad I am and how I'm a Sandra and a this and a disinformation
Sandra.
And a whatnot. Yeah, so disinformation.
But wait, Sandra, like Sandra Diaz Twine?
Yeah.
Isn't that like the highest compliment ever? Like, that's like the worst.
I know.
Not an insult. That's like, well, thank you so much. Like, I will.
I know,
put that on my
but
tombstone.
I mean, he was obviously throwing a big target on my back.
Right. Yes.
And then obviously afterwards, I started apologizing. And I don't know if that was the scene where I also told Anela, I'm like, I don't care if you guys like me or you're upset with me, I will always protect you. And that you'll see going forward, promising that to Anela. And I promised the same to Amy. I still wanted to mend that bond. But when it came to Sean, he was just too angry. And then he had that chat with me on the beach where we kind of sorted out. But it was too late. He really was on a destruction path. And I knew he wasn't – like, I don't know if you can see it on the edit, but you can see I don't really, really believe him that he will put it in the post so we can work together going forward. So yeah, that's how that happened. No, it was very traumatic. But I mean, I think that was one of the days where I cried the most, because I did feel like I betrayed my best friends. I betrayed the people that I was the closest to. But also looking at the fact that they didn't have my best interests at heart either.
Mm.
So I should just go back to the default of I need to protect myself and I need to protect my game.
Yeah, I think that's really understandable. So we see it so much that it really is your agency that is going to get Sean out of Smash. Like, were you feeling a lot better about Anella in that moment than Sean?
No, because I was obviously with Anella for a bit longer after the second tribe swap, we also got very close. And people always think I am a flip-flopper, but I'm actually also very loyal. When Kieran suggested that we need to vote for Anella over Sean, that was a conscious move to convince them to not go for Anella. I really worked. It's the same as that Chappie's poll vote. I really worked hard for them not to go for Anella because obviously Sean was very pissed off with me, but also I was closer to Anella and he was closer to Amy. So for me, it was a bond that I wanted to work with in future. So I also then went to Anella and I told him, I said, Kieran wanted us to vote you off, but I diverted it to just get more of his trust back by doing that. And also the trust of Amy, because they were very close.
Mm. I mean, let's stop down here on maybe some concerns that are happening as you are like leading the votes. But as you're saying, like Sean is painting you out to be a threat. You are like putting your foot down to get your way. Were you concerned at all about like the perception of that and kind of how much of an obvious target you might have been becoming?
Yeah, to be honest, I never actually thought of it that way. Because I think for me, it was a case of, in the beginning, at the beginning of the show, I was that player that would be in the shadows and just say yes and where do I need to vote and that kind of person. But I smelled blood a little bit when I got to be in charge of the votes at that first tribe swap. I realized I should just be playing an attacking game. More than defensive. I don't know if that's the right words for it.
Mm-hmm.
But it was also a case of I needed to know where I stand and will they listen to me to know, I don't know, where I fit in. I don't know if that sentence doesn't make sense. But, it's a good point. The way I played Survivor, it was to play without fear. I didn't want to play in fear of being voted out, fear of a lot of things, because a lot of people play that way. And I also, I mean, I was very content with this. My life in this game is in the Survivor God's hands, and what will be. So in that moment, I kind of played moment by moment, knowing that it's not going to be the best for my game and the people that I helped by putting them in the majority need to help me now getting out someone that is not good for my reputation, if I can put it that way, in Sean.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, another thing that you are worried about here is possibly how close other members of Vuna are. Tyson and Warda and Kieran. Warda comes back from Unity Island, gives the idol to Tyson, which is something you had mentioned. Like, we know that you were going to split off with Inesu and Chappies to become Operation Destiny. So how are you feeling about that just within Vuna now that you've won the war? It's like there's trouble in paradise from your actual group.
Yeah, you know, just on that, when Warda came back with that immunity necklace, that kind of made it way more big of a deal than it was. It actually, we did sort it out before going. Because when Sean was still so upset with me, I thought he was going to go offered me a tribal. So I asked her if she can't give me the necklace because I just want him off my back. But after we had that conversation and I knew he wasn't going to flip out at tribal, I told her, no, it's fine. So she was prepared to give it to me, which was cool. I kind of, at that stage, I still, let me just think how many numbers we are left with.
This was final 11, yeah. So it's the six three each, and then five Zumbas left, and Sean's going to go.
Yeah, so Sean left. I mean, I would entertain all kinds of chats. I mean, the Destiny 3 was a surprise to me, actually, or the Destiny 2. I never realized that Chappies and Anessa were so close. Hmm. I remember it so well. The first day or two, I was lying in the shelter with Anessa, and I told her, she's like, I'm having my doubts, or I have doubts about Chappies, because he's an Afrikaans guy. And I don't, like, do well with Afrikaans guys. And I told her, you know what? Just do me a favor. Just go and talk to him. So I do want to take a bit of credit for the fact that they actually did eventually bond in the way that they did. You know, so I was kind of surprised. And again, to be honest, it does make you a bit uncomfortable when there's an alliance that two people have already formed that you're kind of informed of. So I did get the idea that it was also kind of a, not necessarily from Chappies, but maybe from Anetu, a bit of a marriage of convenience, the Destiny 3. So I wasn't totally convinced where I was going at that point in the game yet, because I still thought Amy and Anela I could work with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you've spent the whole game trying to break up pairs and not be a third wheel. Yeah. And now you might be feeling like a little bit of a third wheel with a pair you didn't even know existed in Chappies and Anessa, which is, you know, coming up in what would be Operation Destiny. That's an interesting one. I want to talk about Tied Destinies, but I guess the last thing of this vote was the reward and the clue and the publicizing of such. I just feel like, I don't know. There's some fun stuff around you and idols. Like, of course, you end up using it one correctly. And, like, you were just, like, so tied to, like, every clue, every idol. I feel like you had a part to play in it.
I know. I'm quite chuffed with that. I think people, like I read earlier when I said my realness will be disarming, is I think that's what made people so shocked and so upset every time I betrayed them, is because I talk so much. It kind of hides the fact that I do have secrets, or the fact that I am actually playing the game, because I think I'm just a big blabbermouth. But it's kind of calculated. All of that's calculated. I know it doesn't look that way, and it's easy to say afterwards. But I remember sitting there at that pizza reward, and I realized, I mean, it's such a confined space. It was going to be super difficult to get the clue without anyone seeing. And it was also so awkward at that table, because we were people that, I mean, Renier was there, and it was an unlikely combination of people. So I don't know, it was just awkward, and everyone feels too guilty to start looking. So that's why I suggested, like, let's just all look, because I can't actually handle this tension and this awkwardness. And, you know, it ended up, actually working out. I know people get annoyed by that, but it's better that everyone sees it and hears it compared to only one person and maybe the wrong person getting it.
Mm. Well, you're going to move on to Tied Destinies here, where you're tied to Chappies. And it's a big vote, because it feels like Operation Destiny to become something of a swing vote. Amy is going to end up kind of being forced out to a degree in, like, a constricted vote, just these five pairs. Nicole and Smash are immune. And how are you working with Amy through this time? Because I think we saw even before Tied Destinies or the Immunity Challenge, you know, that you weren't going to be flipping with her or wanted Zumba out. And then even more so when Nicole wins the Immunity Challenge, like, it's not just flipping on her group or not being with her group, like, it's voting Amy out. And we know now, like, how close you guys were.
That was very hard for me, but I did also realize at that point I needed to pick a side. So yes, see, this is a very complicated one. There was a lot of ups and downs and a lot of changing, so I'm gonna have to just keep my bearings straight. I was very upset when Amy lost against Nicole for that, because it would have been an easy vote going for Anela and Nicole, because I just have a better connection with Amy. So you can also see in that challenge, I walk up to Amy and console her, because I really wanted her to win that one. So that was a hard place to be in, having to vote for Amy. So the plan was, it's easy. We're going to just do Amy and Renier. And it was kind of set in stone for like most of the day. Because again, for me, it was a case of, I I never knew Amy and Renee were so close. So if it was Amy and pretty much probably anyone else, they would have had a better chance of me voting for Wilder and Tyson. So that was the first consideration. But I remember it so well. I was lying in the shelter, and it was only Anela and Renee there. And Renee told me, Santini, please, I beg you, please, if you save me in this game, if you vote for Wilder and Tyson, I will owe my life to you in this game. That whole speech that he also gave to Chappies. And he said, they're only using you because they know they can beat you. And he was planting all kinds of seeds. And then I thought, okay, his story makes sense. And then I went to Anesu and Chappies. And I, something else happened before then. Wilder and Tyson also came to me and said Anela was also like telling them that he'll vote for me or whatever. There was lots of drama that day. So I called Chappies and Anes and I said, guys, shouldn't we change it? I mean, this is again from my perception or perspective. Shouldn't we change it to Renier and Amy? And we were chatting about that, and we kind of decided, okay, cool, we're going to change it to vote Tyson and Wilder off and keep Renier and Amy. And then I said, okay, but on one condition, because I knew Chappies and Anesu had a way better relationship with Renier than I had because they were in Vuna together for that short time.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, on one condition, I want to tell Renier. I want to tell Renier that I'm the one that made the decision, or I was the deciding vote, so that he then owes me his life, in brackets, or quotation marks. So we decided on that. And like a few minutes later, I see Chappies telling him that. So I called Chappies and I'm like, dude, did you just tell him? And he's like, yes. So I said, no, this is not going to work for me because that wasn't our deal. Because if I keep Amy and Renier, if you look at the numbers, you've got Amy, Renier, Anesu, Anesu, Chappies.
Nicole you have and Anela.
Nicole and Anela.
And Kieran,
which means it's, yeah, but so let's forget about Kieran. It's six, and then I'm seven again.
Yeah.
So it doesn't make sense. Then I'll just go back to being the seven, which I never wanted, because they will definitely gun for me after they then got rid of Kieran. So if I don't have the loyalty of Renier, and because I didn't know Amy and Renier was so tight, I didn't know that she could pull him over to my side because we were close. And also, Renier never spoke strategy to me at all. He was still telling me he doesn't know the game at all. So it was also not a person that I wanted to play with because I like playing with people that know the game.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Is that long story?
Yes. Every time it makes sense. You don't have to ask. I'm telling you.
People always, all the Survivor players tease me because I always say, does it make sense? Markitson. So, you're just getting a bit of how annoying I was probably on the
island. I love it. I love the thoughts within thoughts. It makes a lot of sense. But, like, a thing in this is that Amy is going to go in the tie, definitely. It feels like for you it's a Renier vote because that's the person you don't want to play with, but Amy becomes collateral to that, and she's, like, so upset, and we see these talks on the beach and you're storming off. Like, it's an emotional kind of thing, and she's going to go to the jury. Like, what are the feelings within that in voting out not just someone you've been so close with, but, like, sending someone really angry to the jury? Like, is this concerning you?
You know what? I'm not the kind of player that ever thought about jury management because, I don't know, I always thought I'd wing it if I sit in the final. I'll just wing it. And because everything always made sense in my head, the reasoning why I made the decisions I made always made sense in my head. And it wasn't out of nastiness or wanting to get rid of someone because they will beat you or those kinds of motivation. It was really for me the numbers and what would be best for my game. So I honestly never thought of that. It was hard for me. It was very emotional that that Amy was so upset with me. But maybe if you look back in hindsight, I mean, maybe I did pick up that it wasn't an honest conversation. Because, I mean, we see in the episode, she says, let's just go and make peace and pretend that we've forgiven her and blah, blah, blah. So maybe there my gut just took over. But again, the main reasoning was because Chappies went to tell Rainier, and I didn't know Amy and Rainier were so close, and I would have been 7. So for me, it was really a no-brainer in terms of my game. And if someone's then upset, like I said, it would be something that I would wing at the end. I don't know. I'm not keen on this whole jury manager. I probably should be, but it's just going to get so complicated if you have to still think about that too.
Yeah.
Does that make me a shitty survivor?
No, I mean, it was a really hard one as well, because there's not a lot you can do. As you're saying, like, you would be empowering Zamba, you'd be empowering someone like Rainier, who you're not as close with, to be there with Amy and Anella and Nicole and be what would be 4 of 8 without even then his relationships, as you're saying, with Chappies and Inesu, and you're not in that. So, like, the twist cornered something. Also, just the way the numbers had gone down, or the way you'd been a little bit alienated by Zamba to you know, go with Vuna Strong at the merge, that, you know, makes a lot of sense, and that's what's happening here. So, unfortunate that Amy has to go. Like, believe me, I was sad too, but I'm sure you were sad. She was sad. It's a very sad situation, but it's like, how else, you know, Nicole has won immunity. There's nowhere really else to go with that.
But I just remembered something that they didn't show. At that tribal council, when Amy was voted off, she was going on about people just sticking to numbers, what. And then she said, and I'll never forget this, she said, and I just want to tell everyone sitting here, if Santini gets to the end, I will vote for her to win.
Oh, that's
because
great.
She's the only one that's playing the game.
Great.
Which, that was quite cool. But also, she put a massive target on my back by saying that. And she knew. Afterwards, she was laughing about it. She's like, I meant it, but I knew it was going to put a target on your back. And that's kind of, I wanted to get one lost.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Well, that vote is a lot, as we're saying, you know, a hard one to go with when those pairs were very much like people who were connected to each other, when the pair that probably would have gone wins immunity, you know, they kind of got squeezed out. So it was a difficult one, but definitely your intentionality there makes a lot of sense. But we're going to go to the next vote that will finally crack. You won't have a vote because you will have gone to Immunity Island, but you're going to break here and vote out Inesu in more, you know, in meaning than actually writing her name down. And we see here when you aren't picked, I think it was by Tyson in the reward challenge, like, you feel very alienated here by Vuna.
Yo, that's something that's come a long way. The Wardan Tyson connection, not really always fitting in there. And it was, that really got to me, not being picked. Looking back, it's actually so petty, because I needed to keep Nicole or someone, like, getting information. Like, it was a good move. But at that moment, it just really got me. I don't know why. It just, like, because in Survivor, you sometimes read stuff in situations that's not there to maybe justify your future moves. But it wasn't a lack of feeling for me, that specific one not being picked, just because, I don't know, I seem to have this complex of being the odd one out, and that made me feel even more out than I normally would feel.
Yeah, it's going to come at a crack. I mean, look, you're reading something that's legitimate here. You're turning against them, they're turning against you, Inesu, who you at that point are aligned with, like, Vuna is breaking down at this vote, so it does make sense in that way. Chappies wins immunity, sends you to Immunity Island, which was the plan for you to give up your vote, rely on the swing votes of Nicole and Smash together, and then you go to Immunity Island. And unfortunately, there's good and bad here. You know, you get the idol, you lose your auction money, as we've talked about, you don't get the fire idol. Like, it's a big day. So can you talk through that day? Because also another thing is that you're not there at camp, right? When they are pulling over or trying to pull over swing votes for this massive game-breaking vote.
Yeah, I've had chats about this with Chappies, and I do feel if I was there, I probably would have maybe figured out where Anela and Nicole were sitting at in that vote. I kind of relied on Anesu and Chappies to get the get the, what's the word, it over the finish line, yeah. That vote over the finish line. And that, in hindsight, was probably not a good thing. Chappies kind of regrets that a bit. That is his smooth operator 702 wasn't there. I knew that that Kieran and Tyson and Wada wanted to go for Anesu because what happened at the merge vote. I know Tyson did mention that because Tyson was quite also upset about the fact that Anesu voted with the Zambas on that merge vote. And that kind of gave a bit of a crack in that relationship for Tyson. And I think they wanted to gun for us three first before we gun for them. So it was kind of a cold war. I think everyone knew. Chappies always says he was blindsided in this one. I think it was the only reason why he was blindsided was by Nicole and Anela. He really thought he got their vote. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, he did have Nicole's vote, but Anela was, again, on the other side, and then he convinced Nicole. So, it was tough because she was sacrificed because I was sent to Immunity Island. But I do wonder, like, there is still part of me that wonders why she didn't play that pass that night. She was blindsided, but that's the thing is that obviously didn't pick up on the signs that Nicole and Anela was giving them that maybe if I was there, I would have picked up on. Not saying that I would have, but it would be a possibility.
Yeah, if you would, well, you get the idol then. You need to go to Immunity Island to get the idol. But yeah, maybe you had a lot of tricks in the bag at that point. Chappies has won immunity, you get an idol, she has the pass. Like the three of you, it feels, should have been able to make something work, but you, I guess, weren't there to kind of get that information all in the same place and like make the vote go through. And as you said, like not even to work out what Smash and Nicole are doing. Like, what do you feel that you could have brought to that to, I guess, either pull over someone like Smash, who you had worked with for such a long time up and down through the game, or at least figure out where his head was at, like while you were on the beach?
Yeah, if I was on the beach, there's so much that you could have done, but also in a weird way, and Anesu, don't kill me, but in a weird way, it kind of suited me a little bit and this is horrible to say, but it did suit me a little bit because it did break up the two of Chappies and Anesu, and I probably shouldn't like say this on a public forum, but it wasn't the worst thing for me because she was also so good in challenges and she was so well liked. So maybe deep down, it wasn't the worst thing for me. But if I was on the island, I would have definitely canvassed Nicole harder so that she could convince Anela and also chat to Anela and maybe bring up the fact that I did save him on the Sean vote. And maybe just, I haven't actually thought about how I would have handled it. But if you look at maybe if instead of on that vote, maybe going for Kieran, or suggesting maybe another vote that would have worked better for Anela, then he would have gone with it. Or I still don't know, because he didn't like Wada, so we should have actually just, Chappies and Anesu should probably just have suggested Wada.
Yeah.
Who was the vote on that
night? Well, it was Tyson, and Smash has been close with Tyson, so I think we even said afterwards. Yeah.
That's also, again, not a good read because Tyson and Anela was very close.
Yeah.
Way closer than him and Wada or him and Kieran. So that was probably the worst person to try to convince him to vote for.
That was definitely, I remember Mike said that in the recap, like that in hindsight, and I think Anesu was even, we will get it in the deep dive, but it said maybe that was, not great in pulling over the swing vote. I guess most of the time what you want to do is go to the swing vote and be like, you tell me. And he's never going to see Tyson. So there could have been some stuff there. But look, it's not your fault because you weren't there, couldn't vote. Like, it's, not on you.
But it was also good because I still thought at that stage, I still pretended to be surprised at that vote and look shocked. Because even though I knew what was going to happen either way, whatever side it went to, I did pretend to look shocked that Kieran and Warda and Tyson were turning against their former Vuna members. So I liked, but I mean, Kieran saw it when we got back.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm not buying that.
Yeah, you try to act angry at them, like, oh, why didn't you let me know? Like, you know, because no one knows how you would have gone because you didn't have a vote.
Yes, exactly. So it was actually perfect, but yeah, I didn't buy it.
Well, I admire that you tried because that's like a smart way to play when no one can say what you would have done because you never voted. But the next vote is going to be so chaotic, it's almost hard to know where to start. This is where Warda is going to go. This is the court case tribal council. This is, there's a lot going on here. Okay, I guess my first thing I'll ask is, you guys felt like you were working with Kieran. That felt like something that you were moving forward with. Like, obviously you come from that vote. Chappies has been on the wrong side of the vote. You, had you voted, may have, you know, probably been on the wrong side of that vote. So how are you coming out of that vote, seeming like you're going to try and like make your way through, have alliances? And it seems like Kieran is the person that you're trying to work with.
Yo, Kieran, yo, he's a genius player. So Kieran was, that was a very clever play by Kieran. So Kieran approached approached me and he said he's ready to jump from the Warda and Tyson ship, which is was music to my ears because, again, breaking up pairs and Warda and Tyson was so close. So that, that was really music to my ears. That's where Kieran's double agent thing came. Because he was telling us that he wants to be with us, but he's going to still vote with them just to protect the image, which I should have fucking just, I should have seen through that. But I mean, the one person in this whole game that I never saw coming was Kieran. Kieran hid the fact that he was such a strategic player and such a good gamer so well. And he was so charming and really, that's a dangerous play. He really, really played so well. So then at that stage, it was consensus. We're going to go for Warda. Anela was keen on that, but he didn't know we were also working with Kieran, if I remember correctly. Let me just – yes, see, that was a hectic time. So basically, they were going to come for me, and we were going to go for Warda. But Kieran convinced them that I wasn't going to play my idol, and they were all trying to convince me not to play my idol.
Yes.
So Warda and Tyson tried to convince me of that, but Kieran already gave me the heads up that that's what's, that was what they're going to try and do. So in that vote, we kind of assumed it was going to be a easy one, but we weren't 100% convinced that it would work or that Kieran's on our side, if I remember correctly. And that's why we then decided to play the tribal council pass for Anela to just force them to not have anyone else to vote for but Warda.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. There was a lot of questions around some of the decisions made. Again, there's a lot of advantages and power that you and Chappies are working with in terms of the pass and the idol, and he's immune. So the first question is, we you know, a lot of the discussion was around like Warda, or I guess Tyson, because you think you're working with Kieran. You seemed very set on Warda. Can you speak a little bit to that reasoning?
Yes, and this was actually an interesting moment. Chappies came to me. He's like, we need to get rid of Tyson. He's dangerous. And I said, no, he's actually not. Because in the edit, what you see behind in his confessionals, obviously not knowing that, Tyson was a very, like, he was always distant in camp and always on his own mission. He always looked like a bit of a grumpy guy. Where Warda was the charming, not really the charming one, but she, I felt like Warda was the brains.
Okay.
She was the brains, her and Kieran was the brains in that operation. And that's why I really wanted to gun for Warda, because a lot of Tyson's decisions, I think, was based on what and not to dilute his game at all, but he did rely on Warda and Kiran for a lot of the information and a lot of the moves because he's not such a big fan of the game and doesn't necessarily know the game so well. So that's why I wanted to go in for Warda. But also, I mean, Warda and I have had ups and downs, and there's many fights and things that they're not they haven't showed. But, you know, she was one of my biggest competitors, someone that I really wanted out probably from day one. Because she is really such a good player, but also we just sometimes rubbed each other the wrong way. So there was a bit of emotion also involved there. But I did feel that it was most strategic to rather get rid of Warda. In hindsight, it would have been better to rather break up Kiran and Tyson. But at that stage, I really felt that Warda was actually closer to Tyson.
Were you concerned about, like, you know, because Smash is something of possibly a swing vote in that, and he's closer to Tyson, whereas, like, Warda and Smash have had their own ups and downs. Like, did that factor in for you at all?
Yes, that's a good point. Yeah, it's actually a very, very good point. I should have probably at that stage considered how close him and Tyson were. I just need to go back. At that point, I really thought that we still had Smash.
Right.
He is also such a good player. He's so good with hiding his emotions and pretending to be on your side when he's actually not. And because, again, I promised him that I will protect him regardless, that's why, you know, I should have... Yeah, so you saying we should have rather done Tyson, but it wouldn't have worked because, yeah, him and Tyson are too close. And he wanted that vote too. So it was then easy for him. Yeah, that's what it was. It was easy then for him to convince him to go with Warda. But then it didn't matter because we sent him away in any way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you end up sending Smash away, and that was like another question we got. Like, we, you know, these were the you know, Monday morning quarterbacking that was happening after this vote because there was so much potential. Like, did you consider leaving Smash in, having him be an option to be voted for? And as you're saying, you didn't trust Kiran, and that was probably the right read. Smash probably does go, but then you keep the idol because you've sent yourself out of Tribal Council and kept the idol. Was that something that you considered?
Yeah, it's so weird. Everyone asked that question. And at that stage, we never considered that because we wanted to keep the numbers for the long run. So for argument's sake, okay, cool. We really, really thought that they were going to go for Smash over Warda, which meant if we didn't send him away and I was sent away and I saved my idol, then those Warda, Tyson, and Kiran would have voted for Anela. So then he would have been gone. So then it would be Warda, Kiran, Tyson against me, Chappies, and Nicole. And then because they know I've got the idol, they might have figured out some form of blindside. I mean, there's a lot of stuff we can say looking back that maybe we should have done, but we thought of the long game to get also Smash on our side by saving him with the pass and not just looking into the moment now by saving the idol. I think that was our main motivation there.
Yeah, I think the key to this is like how much you guys were relying on Smash. I think in talking about like keeping the idol, we might have seen Smash as almost synonymous with that group because he had been voting with them, and you guys saw him as like really a piece on the board for you guys to play with. And in the next vote, like, he does momentarily work with you guys, right? So that is, yes, that is, you know, something that I guess was definitely right to consider. I guess the last question, which is something I asked Chappies and something I didn't even talk about at the time on the podcast, but have had conversations about since. Did you think about, in terms of like trying to get Smash on your side, because we're saying that's like key to this, making sure he doesn't go home and kind of just assuring that Warda goes and that Smash is still there, even at the cost of an idol. Did you consider sending yourself out, giving, it's elaborate, but sending yourself out, giving the idol to Chappies, having them all vote for Smash as you thought they would, I'm sure correctly, and then having Chappies play your idol on Smash. So you keep Smash, Warda does go home, you are safe, the idol is played, but the thing that is done in that regard is that Smash can see that they all voted for him and maybe you sow some division in that move.
That would have been a genius plan. That would have been a genius plan. I never thought of that.
Okay. I'm going to tell my friend because he messaged me and he was like, that's the plan. I'm like, all right, well, I'll ask him. I'll tell him, like, I'm sure he's listening. No. That, you know, that
shit, that would have been a genius plan.
Okay. Yeah.
But, I mean, it would have boiled down to the same thing, though. I would have, this idol will still be lost. But yeah, that would have been, you know, but I mean, that's kind of what we tried with giving him that pass.
Yeah. You felt that you were saving him anyway, so he should have been grateful. But this would have just been a little bit more of a fine point on, like, you literally got voted for and we saved you. But I understand that within that same kind of energy, you were putting that out there.
No, but that would have been clever. That would have been so clever. But the opposite would have also happened, maybe if they didn't vote for him. Then he would have gotten more confidence in him. But while we sending him away, he still doesn't know whether they would have voted for him over Warda.
Yeah. Yeah, I think well, like, you would have had to give your idol to Chappie to play on Smash, or, like, giving up a bit of control in that way, sending yourself out of Tribal Council for a big move. Like, there's a lot to this, and it's only, like, within weeks of talking about this chaotic vote.
If Chappie then did play the idol for him and Kieran and Tyson didn't vote for him, then they would have also gotten points in this whole setup and his trust.
Yeah.
But then we would have known where we all stand.
Yeah. I think that, like, what you guys gained was the assurance of, like, getting what you wanted. Like, you wanted Warda out and you just left, like, no room for error in that. Like, Smash was safe. You were safe. It was done. Like, I totally do understand that part of it, playing the idol, for example, and just coming back to camp with exactly the people you wanted to come back to camp with. Like, I think there's a lot of sense in that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then eventually we ended up now with Pez again, because now you've got Kieran and Tyson, you've got Anela and Nicole, and me and Chappies.
Yes.
So there's no threesome left.
Yes, as was your goal, you know, break up some of these groups. I mean, we're not even talking about, like, we're talking about only the strategy, like, the Tribal Council itself was crazy. I felt like you were Chappie's lawyer for a lot of this, like, helping him through.
I know!
You did well.
I was a fireman.
Yeah.
I was chuffed myself on that one. Now, you know, just to get with the rice, okay, so it was so funny because I remember the day so well. In camp, I was, I saw Tyson and Warda with a bag, and then I started looking for our rice, and I saw there's no rice. And then I pointed to Chappie's, and we walked off, and he's like, did you see what I saw? Like, yes, I saw. They took, the rice is gone. And then when I got back, Warda started talking about it in front of me, about the fact that she took the rice. There's still some controversy about that topic. She still says she did it on purpose to bite us, but I don't believe that story for, like, a second. But anyway, we won't go in there.
Mm.
So then I realized it was in her bag. So I told Chappies it was in her bag, and he's like, I'm going to steal it back. I said, no, Chappies, you can't steal something out of someone's bag. He's like, no, I'm going to steal it. I'm like, no, rather wait until Tribal and then call her out at Tribal. And then you throw her under the bus in front of Nico. And he's like, cool, cool, cool. That's a good idea. And then we sitting there. And then all of a sudden, when I look behind me, there's Chappies with his bag of sand.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just trying. I'm like, fuck. And I'm just trying. I mean, he didn't even warn me. So I'm trying to keep Warda busy. And the fact that she didn't notice him behind her, he didn't hear the zipper go open. That was like, he's good, huh? I was so nervous. I've never been that nervous in my life, because it would have taken like a second for her to look behind her, and that would have been a fight. Like, I don't want to.
I mean, we see it. Like, we see it at Tribal.
Yes, and then.
But at least you have a mediator, I mean, Nico, at Tribal Council.
You know, I remember Warda was very, very upset because she actually noticed that the bag was sad just before we got into Tribal Council. And I was praying, please, 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 let them not throw Chappies off this game. Let them not expel him from the game, because that will fuck up my game so badly. And then, so that's why my head, I was just constantly thinking, I need to get Chappies out of this, because, yes, for him, yes, out of principle, but also I need him. I need him for my game. So that's why I told him about, because they were going on and on, and I told him about, remember the rye flies? And luckily, you know, my lawyerness came out there.
Yeah.
So yeah, I had so much fun there trying to kind of prove that everyone was wrong and whatnot. You know, oish.
Yeah.
That was rough.
I feel like we were so robbed of seeing you at a final tribal council arguing your case to win for a few reasons, but also just like how you stand the heat in that tribal council. And I feel like you and Chappie's like definitively won the argument when it's just like coming at you. It was like a bit of a, yeah, like it was a dramatic tribal council for sure. One of the most dramatic tribal councils. And like all your arguments had such logic. Like I felt like you made such sense.
I think it's usually easier for me to defend someone else when I'm not in that situation. But I'm one of those people that if I'm in it, I'll probably start, I don't know, it's easier to think clearer when you're not the one being attacked.
Yeah, which is interesting because we'll talk about the next tribal council where you go home and it feels like the emotions of that were quite possibly your undoing. But in like in this tribal council, it's like, all right, like, you know, approach the bench. Like you're fully like the lawyer in this situation.
I loved it. It was so much fun.
So coming back from that, obviously, it was dramatic that, you know, you were going to get to this your final round in the game. So what do you think is happening here? You still feel like you're with Kieran, like at the beginning of the round before Smash comes to you with everything. What's your thoughts on the dynamic?
When Anela told us about Kieran having the idol, I was so shocked. I was so surprised. I never saw it coming. I really, really thought we were working with him because we were working together, in my opinion, or in my view, we were working together on the Warda, getting Warda out. And maybe Kieran was also responsible for us playing all those funny advantages wrong. But I really was shocked and kind of, you know, shook to the core that he actually was lying to us and playing us all this time to actually flush my idol and everything that went with it.
Right. So when Smash comes to you with that and we see the chaos of, like, he wants to vote out Kieran, everyone's on board, you propose what I thought was a great plan, split the vote, be extremely safe, made a lot of sense to me. How does this go down here? Because I feel like this is the vote we probably saw the least of, and I've spoken about it with Chappies and with Kieran now in the deep dives and with Smash, like, you know, it was a lot going on. Can you talk us through the chaos before Tribal Council and then through Tribal Council that led to you eventually getting voted out?
Yeah, so Kieran, it all came out about Anela and this whole blindside that they were planning against us and Anela, spilling the beans everywhere. And yeah, we had so little time after the news broke before we had to leave for Tribal Council, because I would have loved to approach Kieran there and then and sort it out with him on the beach. And us both, or me, Tyson and Chappies and Kieran, deciding then rather to go for the one that's outed us both and put us in this shit situation, and then rather vote for Anela. But I really still believed Anela. But I mean, even we didn't have time in any case to just sort it out with each other, that betrayal. So that betrayal happened, and it was a very short time before we then had to go to tribal. And yeah, so when we got to tribal, what caused all of this chaos was, so the vote was always going to be, for Kieran, it was, Tyson was always going to be Nicole. Because Kieran was missioning the whole day to convince them to rather vote for Nicole. And on our side, I thought we confirmed that we were going to split the votes, and Anela was winking at me the whole time. But what basically was my undoing was to bring up the trust thing at that tribal, because I wasn't sure if I could trust Smash or I could trust Kieran. And that was probably the worst place to have it out there. And you know, I always tell everyone, I talked myself into being voted off. That is pretty much, I will own it, because there was such a long fight between me and Kieran that at one stage he's like, guys, I just want to tell you, I'm changing my vote from Nicole to Santini. And I think that's where Anela saw the gap. Because I think if you go back to when I played that idol that was hidden at Tribal, Anela, I think that is where the scar in our relationship came in, because I never told him about that idol. And I think he's wanted revenge since then. And I think this was the ideal opportunity for him to use the fight between me and Kieran to then finally get me out like he wanted Warda out. But I never suspected that he was going to not stick to the 2-2-2 split. Even him looking me in the eye at that Tribal, I was convinced he was going to stick to it. So, yeah, that was a big shock.
So walking into Tribal Council, you were going with the 2-2-2 split, even in, like, finding out anything about what Smash had done?
No, I wanted to decide it there. Right. I would say, like, 70% or 60% on the 2-2, but because of what Smash did, I brought that. Oh, who can? Because I was sitting there and I told myself, you need to figure out which one of the two you can trust more. And then that whole thing with Kieran happened. I don't know if that's answering your question.
So you had spoken to Kieran before the Tribal Council. Smash's plan had been outed. That was a possibility, but then in the way the Tribal Council went, it went back to Kieran just based on, like, the 50-50 of who was just more untrustworthy to you in that moment.
It went back to Kieran, because Kieran then was so upset with me and lost his cool that he said, guys, I'm going to be voting for Santini. So then it wasn't really a choice for me.
Right.
I think he's got a lot of regrets about that specific Tribal.
Yeah, it was a weird one, because you're coming for each other, and then it kind of is the Tribal Council where you both lose the game in a way. I mean, I know that Kieran had some outs, and if Chappies had lost immunity, but it felt like that gave him very few options. It was definitely a tough Tribal Council for sure. Like, what are your feelings in the moment? Like, hearing that Smash has gone back on the plan, obviously it's something you're upset about at the final Tribal Council. Like, this is an emotional day.
Yeah, are we talking about the final? Yeah, sure. You know what it was? It's such a mix of emotions when it comes to that. Yes, I was shocked that he betrayed me, but everyone, I mean, you always have to say, I mean, it's Survivor, you will be betrayed. But I think that night when Nico read the votes, before we even made the fire, when Anela knew they were going to read my name because he voted for me, he gave me this look, and I will never forget that look, and I haven't even spoken to him about this, but he gave me this evil look. That moment I realized he was never on my side. He literally was never on my side. None of it was real, because the way he looked at me then, because he didn't have to fake it anymore, he looked at me in a way that I can't even explain. That I just saw a bit of evil. And I shouldn't say that. And I mean, my words, when it comes out in English, it sounds way worse than I actually mean it. It's like I only realized what nemesis meant until Carla told me when we were at the finale. I didn't even know the gravitas of the word nemesis. So evil is maybe not the right word, but he just looked in at me in a way, and that vibe, I didn't feel comfortable with that vibe. It just... I don't know. And, you know, I will always say, and I've told this to everyone, I am not this good girl that is going to say I'm going to be impartial when it comes to the final vote. I wasn't even pretending that that's an option for me, because, I don't know, he got to me. It's like what Sean said to me is he didn't break my trust, he broke my heart. But he broke my heart more in realizing in that moment that he really hated me so much, if that's the right word.
No, I understand it, because it was an emotional day. So if anything is going to have, like, strong emotions in a final vote or how you react to it, like, I definitely can understand that, that happened with this vote. And speaking of, like, what are your feelings in that moment? You get voted out. You are saved by a fire idol for a moment. You get the chance to make fire, and you're so close as well. So I feel like the roller coaster of that day, I can't even imagine. Like, it starts off, And you're with Kieran, and then you're not, then you're Smash, and then you're against Smash, and then you're against Kieran again, and then you're voted out, and then you actually aren't because you can make a fire, and then you actually are voted out. Like, that was that day.
Yo, that day was intense. It was so funny because when Nicole said she's going to play the Fire Idol, because I was so convinced about that split, I was actually upset. I'm like, Nicole, because she was going to fuck up that 2-2-2. And then when I read the votes, I'm like, thank goodness she played it. But then in that moment, I really wasn't up, not wasn't up, but I was so nervous for that fire, making that fire. I honestly was very close to telling Nico, just snuff my torch, man, because I'm not going to make an idiot of myself because I've never been able to make fine. Everyone knows this. So, y'all, when we were sitting there, and we started making that fire, I still can't believe I managed to get it right and kind of be in the lead for such a long time in that challenge. But again, I'm such a firm believer in Survivor, your time is your time. And I mean, this is such a good example of it. I mean, I was supposed to go home. I mean, if you look at the history of the Fire Idol, I was supposed to win the Fire Idol with that snake challenge. I didn't win it. I was telling everyone what a stupid advantage it was. Then it still comes back and it gets played for me. So the universe wanted me to have make that fire, but also to go out in that way was just, as a fan of the game, just so epic. To go out in fire is like I couldn't have wished for anything better besides then winning the million. But to be honest, as a fan, you would want to rather go out in flames than maybe sitting in a final two and not getting any votes. So I'm just, I mean, after that fire, I was more happy probably than I was sad because I managed to do something I didn't think I was going to do. But yeah, then comes Ponderosa. And then, yeah, that's another one to add to the emotional day. I mean, to face everyone.
Yeah, we definitely saw that in your Ponderosa video. I mean, in terms of the fire, like, it was epic, but as you're saying, you had actively been voted out, so you can't even, like, regret it. Like,
yes.
You lost, you know, you got voted out, and then you were given another chance from it, and unfortunately it didn't work out, but you got close. Like, you can be, like, you know, at least you tried, at least you did really well with it, and it's not like you went by fire, like, you were voted out.
Yes, imagine put Tyson went out, because he didn't even get the majority of the votes, so that would have been way worse. I feel the way that I went out was, I was meant to be voted, people wanted me out, and that was just affirmed by the fire. But, you know, I never even thought about it that way. Imagine I did win. I think I would have felt so guilty if Tyson then had to leave.
That's such an objective way
for you to look at it. It's not actually right.
Yeah. Like, you even as the person who...
I never thought of that.
Yeah. Yeah, it would have been pretty unfair for Tyson, I have to say. He didn't get voted out. So, but that is the Fire Idol. That's the mechanism of the game that gives you that chance.
For nearly four decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
So let's live in the fantasy world where you don't get voted out, or the fire works, or it works out. Either Tyson goes in the fire or Kieran goes because your plan works and Smash stays with you. What were you thinking were your end game plans at that point? Had you considered turning on Chappies, or were you going to the end with him? Like, who did you want to progress to the very end of the game with?
Well, at one stage, I would have seen me and Chappies and Smash in the final. But obviously, after Smash voted against me on that vote, I would obviously have seen myself, Nicole, and Chappies in the final three, because I think I played such a different game to their two games that people were either going to respect that or hate it. But at least, having the two of them that were mainly physical players, and obviously Chappies also being strategic at points in the game, I think I would have had a better chance against them than, for argument's sake, against Kieran. Obviously, in my ideal world, in terms of the people that I thought played the best, I think Kieran and Chappie's, I would have been proud to sit next to, if that answers your question.
Yeah, I mean, would you ever at any point have ever turned on Chappie's? I feel like, you played very different games and you probably would have had a really good shot against him, really different peaks for both of you. But would that have ever happened, or would you have been going, even if you'd won that last challenge, would you have been taking Chappie's?
Yeah, I don't think I would ever have turned on Chappie's. There was moments in the beginning of the game where I kind of thought he's kind of my meat shield or whatever. But as you grow closer, and I mean, our journey, the way he saved me, the way he helped me, the way we saved each other, I mean, I wouldn't have been able to go to the end with a clean conscience. Not that conscience is a thing in Survivor, but for me, that would be the ultimate, like, in Afrikaans, you call it duis.
Yes,
the English.
I learned the word, yes.
Duis move to do. But also, realized as we were playing the game, I would rather want to keep someone that played well than having a goat next to me. I don't know why. It changed at some point in the game where I rather wanted to sit next to the strongest person there and beat them there in the final.
If your plan had worked to take out Kieran and Smash doesn't turn, are you looking there to take out Tyson immediately next at a final five, or would you be looking out to break up a pair like Nicole and Smash because your whole game had been breaking up pairs?
Yeah. No, I would have definitely broken up Smash and Nicole, because I also didn't have such a tight connection with Nicole, because we only came together once we shared the same tribe with the merch. So I would have definitely tried to break up those two.
Yeah,
definitely. I really have a lot of respect for Tyson, and it would be such a cool full circle, even if it ended up, you know, any of those guys in the final. I really respected them a lot, and Nicole too, but obviously we didn't have such a tight relationship because we physically just didn't spend so much time together as me and the guys.
Yeah, makes a lot of sense. I wish we could have seen it. I wish we could have seen it go that way with you being able to get to the end.
You know what? I've got a theory that if you go out at a certain point in Survivor, your odds of maybe being invited back increases. So let's all thumbs for that.
There you go. It was all meant to be.
Yeah, I'm corny like that. Let's just see the positive.
Mm-hmm. In something less positive, you get to Ponderosa, and it's like an interesting reception, I would say. Like, we saw it as, they were all like saying you played the biggest game, and I could definitely agree with that. But also, they were like mad at you. So what was it like in those first few days? What was it like throughout your whole time there in kind of reconciling Ooh. Some of those relationships?
Yeah, it was tough that first night because it was so late and I was so tired and so depleted. I really reached my breaking point that night, because I literally gave this whole journey my all, every piece of my energy and my heart and my soul, that I didn't have any left over when I arrived at Ponderosa. So they were all gunning for me and saying, own up to your game and do this. And at that stage, I was finished. I just couldn't even get a word out. And that's why there was so much tears, because I think, you know, I just didn't have any more to give. And I actually, if I could have that night over, I would have actually just wanted to be more present and properly addressed their answers and their grievances and whatever. But that night, I couldn't. But what was cool is the following days. I mean, Warda ignored me for 2 days in Ponderosa. Amy was very icy. But then when the time was right, we started, especially in Amy. That was the first relationship that was mended, because I really, that's the one person's betrayal that I felt the worst about. And then also Carla, just because it's people that I really got on with well, and that are such good players, and that was good friends to me. So yeah, me and Amy sorted it out, and everyone else saw the real me. I think the not so paranoid or whatever me. No, but Ponderosa from there on was actually just such a blessing, and I'm so relieved actually that I got that time to spend with all those people to mend those relationships, because now you know, like I always say, everything in Survivor happens for a reason, and it had to happen in this way that I got out and I got to spend 6 odd days in Ponderosa just mending those relationships, because they're all fabulous people, and I'm so grateful that I have them in my life. And it might not have been possible if I maybe went to the final two and never really had the time to make peace.
Yeah, so we see a lot from what is happening with the jury sentiment at Ponderosa, and I definitely want to get your opinion. Firstly, as a spectator of the game, you're a big fan, and now you're on the jury bench seeing your Kieran go, everything that happened in the Tyson vote, eventually Chappie's going at the final three. Like, what are your thoughts as it gets down to the end game?
You know, I was something that really bugs me, that bugged me and was a big factor also for me, in the Anela not getting my vote, was I was very disappointed when Kieran got voted out, because and subsequently Tyson, because they were so instrumental in getting rid of me. So it felt like a bit of a waste, them not really lasting much longer than I did. And also Anela betraying the League of Shadows. It's a topic that is very it's a very sensitive topic in our country, and I think if you use something like that in your game, then you need to stick with it, in my opinion, because it's something so pure and something so precious that I think is something that you shouldn't handle in the way that maybe he did. And I mean, it's not to sound all judgy, I mean, he has his reasons, but I was just disappointed that the League of Shadows didn't actually last the test of time after I left, because then it actually meant that it didn't mean anything. I don't know if that's you know, it's a bit of a controversial statement, but I was disappointed with that. I was disappointed to see from my perception that Kieran wasn't really fighting there at the end to stay. And I was very shocked when Chappie's approached Tyson there at that one tribal council to change his vote, and he didn't, because he could have saved himself. So, yeah, it was disappointing, those two. Obviously, my heart broke for Chappie's when that night when he found out it was a top two and not a top three, because you could see he literally gave it his all, because he knew his work was done, or he thought his work was done, and it wasn't. So, yeah.
I'd love to get a sense of where you feel the jury's head was at, just watching some of these votes break down the way that they did. Did you feel that the jury was very open to seeing, you know, who the final two would be, who they'd give their votes to, or for you, was there kind of like one name of who would be the outright winner? Like, where was the jury at in these last votes of the game?
Are we talking, if you say last votes, like
when Tyson is still in, or with Chappie's left, and Kieran even, like, where were they leaning?
Okay, cool. So after I left, people were kind of leaning towards Kieran, because Kieran played a very good game, and he was very likable amongst Vuna and Zamba members. So Kieran was probably in the lead in terms of jury votes after I left. Then when he got voted off, things started getting a bit blurry. I don't think Tyson had a lot of pull on the jury at that stage. Because even Warda said that the way things are going now, she would probably vote for Chappie's to win. Which, if Warda says she's going to vote for Chappie's to win over Tyson, that says quite a lot. But the majority, because the majority of the jury members at that stage was more Zambas, they obviously were rooting from Renier and Sean's side for Anela. They were like constantly in our fucking ears about Anela this and Anela that and Anela. And, you know, I mean, I didn't really want to hear any of it, but, you know, Sean was quite a big advocate for Anela in the house, to a point of being annoying, and so is Renier. People, they all could see Chappie's obviously doing what he's doing, but people never really rated Chappie's social game and his strategic game as much, and because he managed to maybe piss off a few people with comments and stuff unintentionally. they weren't necessarily the biggest fans, but at the point where it was just the three, I think the majority of people would have voted for Chappies just because of what he's managed to achieve at that point. Nicole was not someone that got spoke a lot about on Ponderosa, if I recall correctly, because I think most people assumed that it would be Chappies and Nicole or Chappies and Anela. So it was really not something that was discussed that much up until Chappies got voted off.
Right.
Things, and you could see in the Ponderosa, Chappies is Ponderosa, when I talk about Nicole, and where I say how much she's grown and how much she's grown as a person. That's where those kinds of conversations started, because obviously we knew we were going to have to pick between the two.
Yeah, I'm glad you bring that up, because we see some of these conversations you're having in the Ponderosas. And for example, like, I think it was the Kieran vote. You have a conversation about, like, if it is Smash versus Nicole, like, his strategy, I think you say, is miles ahead, right? And that's the conversation being had. And then obviously two votes later, you are saying, like, look how much you've grown, and you guys are talking about the journey. So how does it get from point A to point B? And then what's going to be point C, which is Smash just getting one vote? Like, how do you feel that it progressed in that way?
I know Nicole nailed it at that final tribal council with her opening speech. Also Anela, I think, dug his grave deeper and deeper. Just from my perception, and it's not to diss anyone, Smash has got a massive vocabulary, and he uses words that I've never even heard of. But in his final speech, it did feel like a debate team. Because he does participate in debating at school and stuff. So it was this massive speech that didn't say anything, it felt to me. It didn't really say anything. And when Nicole just kept it sweet and short. And, I mean, technically, you can't argue against the fact that she brought him there. She was the one that saved him in the Tide Destinies, and she brought him there after beating Chappies. So, I mean, it was difficult to argue against that. And then also, I mean, I was thinking about this week, where Anela could have said he saved Nicole by the time the times when they convinced when he convinced Tyson and Kieran not to vote for Nicole. So, I mean, he could have used that same strategy that she was using, but he wasn't arguing that point with a counter argument that made sense to me, at least.
Yeah, I mean, you come in there with a statement, not a question. and you're very angry. You've spoken about, like, how you were disappointed about how the end game played out and, like, you know, what upset you about him not getting your vote. Was that a thought process that you're having, like, through the last few votes? Are you getting more angry in the final tribal council? Like, how did you show up to that final tribal council? Was it with that anger, or he was, like, as you said, burying himself more? Were you just kind of, like, rising in kind of anger levels?
No, I don't know if you saw my exit interview when I was sitting in the hotel, when I said I lost the game because of Kieran and Anela, and I won't win the game either, because I don't know if you saw that. Right. But so since being voted off, I've never had any intention of letting Anela win. And I know it sounds petty, but it's just, you know, I still haven't processed a lot of those feelings. But no, I came into that tribal knowing that I was going to vote for Nicole, knowing that I'm going to tell him that his ego. I knew that question or that statement that I had. I knew that I didn't want to hear anything else from him, and that's why I didn't want to ask a question. That's why I wanted to make a statement, because I didn't want to hear any more of his shit stories. But when I did stand up, before I went to make the statement, he was like, oh, or like pulling a face or laughing. So that got me, like, to the angry level. I don't know. his little comment there put my red hair into gear.
Yeah.
That fucked me off. And then also when he was insisting to give a rebuttal or reply to my statement, that pissed me off even more. because it was a statement. So I remember Nico's face when I said it. Because I think Nico is still considering telling him he could answer, and I just said it's a statement, because that was my whole reason, because I didn't want him to address me.
Right.
I'm horrible like that. I'm a horrible person.
No, I mean, look, it was another fire tribal council, just different fire, different, you know, different way that this went, as your prerogative as a juror. Were you surprised, by the way, that the votes ended up in it being 8-1? Because as you said, like, someone like Rania, who's like canvassing for Smash, doesn't even vote for him, or like the way that final tribal council went, you felt like it would be 8-1.
There was a few people that I wasn't sure about. So I wasn't sure where Amy would put her vote, because she was close to him. I didn't know where Rainier would put his vote. And I also I knew Sean was going to not vote for Nicole. But besides those two, after that tribal council, it was really, to use Nicole's words, a no-brainer. She really handled herself so well. She was so calm. She was so composed. She used humor. She really, really impressed me in that final tribal beyond belief. And the fact, for me, now watching the votes, the fact that Rainier voted for her must show you what a massive impact that last tribal made on him to choose her over Smash, because they were really close. And you know, she did an amazing job. There was stuff that they didn't show that also I think got to people, was at that tribal we found out that he was the one that stole the Future Life bars, but Sean, I think Sean was really trying to on that night trying to canvass so hard for Anela and asking him questions to put him in a good light, but he didn't take those opportunities maybe. Sorry, I'm getting long-winded again.
No,
but
John
Nicole just hit it out of the park. And also, you must remember, I do feel, I mean, I know Tyson and Kieran won't necessarily admit this or say this, but in my heart, I do think they're very disappointed with the fact that the Destiny 3 didn't go as they wanted to. So there must be some emotion there also. And again, if you look at Chappies, I mean, I'm just, from my opinion, I haven't spoken to any of them about it, but from my opinion, if you also then look at Chappies, he is going to vote for the person to win that beat him. So if you do those kinds of math, you kind of figure which way it's going to go. Nicole really did a good job with just keeping it short and sweet.
For sure. Well, that's going to be, you know, the winning game. Unfortunate that you couldn't get to the end, and I'm sure it's something we would have all loved to see, hopefully sometime in the future. But you get to be on the jury, you vote for Nicole, and she wins. What is it like coming back, you know, as a big fan, being on the show, becoming, like, such an icon? We got a lot of questions here, and most of them are compliments. I'll give you some questions from the listeners. But what has that experience been like to become this like phenomenon in the community and watching it back and like being such a main character on the show, like just that whole experience?
It's so weird because of COVID, and it seems like I'm a bit of a hermit, but I don't go out much, so I haven't seen or experienced much of this hype outside with real people.
I feel you so hard on that. I never go out. I mean, I'm in lockdown, but the fact that we're sitting inside having this conversation, like, that totally tracks.
You know, I went to a music concert the other day of this band that I love, and the band members all came to me and asked me to take a photo with them.
Oh, my God.
And I'm like, what?
Yay.
So it hasn't really sunk in. I try to not, like, I mean, I'm super chuffed, but I still kind of don't believe it, but you know, it feels great. My mission going into the show was to play a game that I would love to see as a fan and play an exciting game, and also to be honest in those confessionals, because you want to know what the person's headspace is or what headspace they are in, and you want to get to know them. So when I sat at those confessionals, I spoke as if no one was ever going to see it, if I was speaking to my shrink or whatever. And it ended up working well and people liked me and I appreciate it so much. But all I can actually think of is just to go and play again. Because I just it was just so much fun. Just the game, not the like people's opinions or how big a player or whatever you are. It was just fun. And I feel so honored to have played also the kind of game that I would have wished to have played. Like, I mean, being involved in Blindside, playing idols, making fire. Like, I mean, there's so many things as a super fan or a big fan that you want on your bucket list that just happened. And I still can't believe it's true. It's super, like, surreal.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you're not going to go outside to have people stop you on the street, like, the way to get the love is on the internet. And in this podcast, like, we asked some questions from the listeners.
Y'all want to hear.
So much love. Jessica Frey says, congrats on being an international Survivor icon, winner of Chizzy Points in two franchises. What advice can you give to other superfans who play any version of Survivor who may also be underestimated? Now, before the question, so are you aware of what, like, so you came second in the Chizzy this season, Survivor South Africa, which, you know, the points we give out every week for the best players of the week. You came second, Kieran won. But you are the first player ever in podcast history. You got a Chizzy point in Australian Survivor. I don't. You saw this. Do you understand what happened here?
Yeah, I know. I'm so excited. I went to listen to that podcast. I couldn't tell you how chuffed I am with that. That probably is the highlight of my Survivor season, getting a Chizzy point from another franchise. And then also getting one in the one where I was voted out. That is also not, like, maybe something that happens a lot that I thought was awesome.
Memorial Chizzy point.
And
yes.
Yeah, I mean, I was kind of, I started getting obsessed with the Chizzies.
we love
and,
that.
Like, I, because... I never played. I mean, I never played for these kinds of things, or I never even thought about it. I was just playing so that viewers would like it, and I would be proud of it. But no, it's flipping exciting. I mean, I think I have the same Chizzies in the Australian one as Phil.
Yeah, more than most of the. Like, clarify for anyone who was listening to the Australian Survivor coverage. You would have known, hopefully, that we did a Chizzy raffle for, you know, to fight against. Alzheimer's and for important research. It was a really good course. We did a Chizzy raffle where Chizzy raffle winner Laura won my Chizzy points for the final week and gave their 3-2-1, and you got 1 point, even though you aren't on Australian Survivor. So you have more Australian Survivor Chizzy points than, yeah, like probably half of that cast, at least, I would say.
Insane. And thank you, Laura. It's Laura, eh?
Yes.
For giving me that point. I think it's so funny and I think it's so cool. And hopefully, maybe, I mean, if you think about it, if there's ever Australia against South Africa Survivor, then I already have one.
Yes.
Like, I mean, I'm probably the only one that's got one.
Well, you have one for Australian Survivor Brains versus Braun. Now, again, you weren't on that season, but it stays in that season. But look, you're on the charts and it is pretty epic. But look, if you do play a season against Australian Survivor players, it'll be hard not to start you with a point, because it'll just feel like you really did earn it.
Carry it over.
Yes. So look, I love that happened. I'm so glad you're on both charts. But yeah, Jessica Frey did ask what advice you can give to other people who may feel underestimated.
It's difficult. I must say, I didn't think the fact that I was going to be underestimated is going to get to me so badly. But I think that's what makes Survivor such an awesome game, because you can be underestimated maybe in a physical sense, or in my case, they underestimated me in social, physical, and strategic. But you just kind of need to stick to your intentions and why. I know it sounds all philosophical, but to stick with what you decided you wanted to do going in. And I think it's important to have fun, because I think if you have fun in Survivor and don't play with fear and just trust the process. I know it sounds a bit, like, it's a bit vague advice-wise, but trust the process. If you're going to meet a person and you're going to bond, there's a reason for it. I'm interrupting myself now, but another thing is also to just make sure you make as many friends as possible and just connect with as many people as possible. Because what I've also noticed while being the outsider is people make it very obvious with who they are aligned to or who they're friendly with or friends with. Where if you're friends with everyone, that kind of helped me in the game. But I mean, everyone's going to play a different kind of game. So it's hard to give advice except for not putting so much pressure on yourself, taking it vote by vote and just being as true to yourself as possible and what you came there to do. I hope that's good enough advice. I don't know. I'm not an expert. I literally winged every day in Survivor, so I'm probably not the best person.
Well, there you have it. Wing it. That's another piece of advice. Go with your gut. Go with your instincts.
Your gut. That's very important. Your gut's never wrong. You must seriously hone into that gut vibes.
Mm-hmm. Tommy Guam asks, what has Santini learned from playing and what would she do differently?
One thing that I did learn from playing is I was so scared of those challenges and I was my own worst enemy. I'm actually not as bad in those things if I didn't tell myself in my head I was so bad. So that's something that I would do differently. I would not be so scared of the challenges and I would really try and get out of my own head when it came to the challenges. But in terms of doing anything else differently, I honestly believe when you go into the game, you can't have a plan. You can't have a set plan. You have to obviously know the game very well, which I do, but to go in open-minded and see what players you are playing with. And that's why I can't even tell you what I'll do differently, because it's all going to depend on the players that I am going to be thrown in with. And that will determine how I will approach it. I think, what else would I do differently?
Seconds quicker, maybe. But again, you were voted out. But that fire, maybe.
Quicker. I must practice fire.
But you did so well. Like, it's hard to, it's really hard to look back on it and look at it like there was like a mistake there or something that you like, you know, hadn't done well.
You know what you must know in Survivor is there's no such thing as a mistake. Honestly, that's how I look back at my game, because everything adds up to getting you wherever you needed to go. And that was the same with for argument, the Tyson, when I gave him the idol clue. That needed to happen so that he was with me in a tribe again, and he could then save me when I was in the minority. He could save Chappies with that idol that eventually benefited me. Sometimes you must also just let go that things do happen for a reason there, and just wing it.
Just wing it.
But I need to give better advice. But I think it's just the most difficult thing in the world to give advice on, because it's so fluid and it's so unpredictable. I mean, you can have a perfect plan to say let's align with only the strong players, and then there's a tribe swap or tie destinies or whatever. You actually can't prepare. You can only prepare mentally and be strong in yourself and have confidence in yourself and just have peace, so that when you wake up in the morning, you know what will be, and you will give your best. And mm-hmm. I don't know. The Survivor Gods are powerful, man.
Yeah, don't try and fight the Survivor Gods. Like, as you say with the Fire Idol, like, what goes around comes around. Like, probably all works out. All comes out in the wash. All happens as it's meant to. All of this is just conjecture at this point. But the last question I have, because, again, if you're not going to take to the streets and meet and get the love out on the streets, we will bring it to you in podcast form. Felipe Shimon asks, what is it like to be a goddess and have fans name their pets after you? I've seen there's a cat Santini out there. There's a fish. There you go.
Yes.
If you could have any animal named after you, what would you choose?
I would want a giraffe. Mm-hmm. I love giraffes.
Okay.
I think a giraffe, or if it's like a pet, a home pet, I would love like a ginger cat. A ginger cat would be cool. I was talking to my partner last night, and I said it would be funny to see, like, in a few years' time, if people name their children Santini, because I've Googled my name. There's no one that's got my name at this point. It's actually an Italian surname. So, yeah, it would be cool if actual people are named after me.
All right.
That'll be funny.
So that's how we're ordering it. We want, like, human, giraffe, ginger cat. If anyone's naming any of those things anytime soon, this is your call to name that thing Santini.
It's so funny because my dad doesn't know the game well, and he's still massively confused, but he loves telling people that this one person in Australia's fish is named after me. He loves that story. He makes me tell it to everyone.
There's a cat. Like this is happening. Yes.
I saw the cat. It's so cool.
Yes. Yeah. I love this. I feel like let's get a lot of Santini babies and animals out there. Let's have this happen.
But on that question about the goddess thing, you know what I would want to be remembered for? And that's why one of the reasons why I'm glad I did so well was, I mean, when you watch Survivor and you're not a typical Survivor-looking person and you're not Sporty Spice or whatever, you do realize the odds of you making it onto the show, never mind making it far into the show, is probably slimmer than most. And it was just good for me to show people like me that you shouldn't give up, and you shouldn't, because society tells you you don't fit into this mold. You shouldn't go after what you want. And that's why I'm so, I mean, they're asking how does it feel to be a goddess or whatever. I'm just so happy that I can represent all those misfits and outcasts and people that never thought they would ever have a chance on being on Survivor or doing well in Survivor, give them that hope. And that's what makes me so happy about this whole journey.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. To get to that point, as you're saying, like, to even get on the show, to, like, put any fears aside, to play an epic game, to have animals named for you, like, yeah, I mean, it's an amazing thing to see. Like, I loved getting to watch you, and I genuinely, like, you played such a big game and we loved watching it to the point where you were getting chizzy points even in your own boot episode. And at points where I was concerned for you in some of those tribe swaps, I was just, like, so grateful that you, like, I had some weeks where I think it was the last tribe swap, I was like, I'm really concerned. And you would make it out of there, you know? And it was epic to watch you go through it. We did call you the protagonist at times, and I really do feel like we watched, like, your story, and then we were all, like, luckier for having watched it.
Oh, thank you so much. It's so funny. Because I don't even properly know what the word protagonist means, but
main character. So funny. Main character.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, because yes, then I understood it correctly. But I remember in the audition process that one of the last auditions was a home visit that Henry had at my house, and then he asked me what archetype would you be in the show. And I was like, sorry, what does archetype mean? And then he had to explain to me. And then I'm like, no, I'll be the funny one. What? So being called the
protagonist
is a massive compliment. And I never thought I would be that, or at least one of them in
just
this show.
Just say star. So. A star. That's what we can put it down to that.
Yay. But I think all of us.
It's true. It's a great cast. It's hard. It's hard to. Yeah. But you did really stand out, Santini. Like, and truly, you did. And
yay.
We loved
thank
watching you.
So much.
If I get a giraffe at any point, I promise you, if I ever get a giraffe, I will name it Santini. I can guarantee it 100%.
Please.
If that happens.
Yes.
If that happens. Santini, where can people find you on social media? You've been tweeting. You've got your store online, I know, which has cool stuff that people might want to find. So where can people find what you're doing online?
Yeah, so they can find me at Quieto Cook Sister. I'm on Twitter, I'm on TikTok, I'm on Instagram, and I'm on Facebook, all with that handle, and on YouTube. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's just Quieto Cook Sister. And yeah, it would be fun to engage with people now, even after the show is over.
Okay, great. Well, everyone follow Suntony. You can follow me at Shannon Gates and Mike at A Mike Bloom Type, where we're putting out a lot of content, US Survivor content. I had Dino on the podcast for the first week, and I have Teresa on for week two. So a lot of Survivor South Africa Immunity Island. Hope everyone is checking that out. If you enjoyed the Survivor South Africa coverage, we're giving chizzy points as well, Suntony. I don't know if you'll somehow get a point on the US show as well, make it the trifecta, but we'll have to see if that can happen. So hope everyone is checking out those recaps. It was a really fun week one with Dino, and super excited to talk with Teresa as well. So hope everyone's following that. And then for Survivor South Africa, we already have Smash, Nicole, Chappies, and Kieran deep dives out, and then Tyson and Anesu are to come. Subscribe to the International Survivor Wrap-Ups feed for all of that content. It's also at the Reality TV Wrap-Ups feed, which is on Spotify, if that is a place that you want to listen to that. So a lot of content going on, but Suntony, it was such a joy to talk through your game and really break down every vote, you know, talk about what the fan reception has been. I'm so glad it was such a great journey for you, and I really did love watching every second of it.
Thank you so much, Shannon, and just thank you to you and Mike and what you guys do and all the time you put into this. You guys are such an essential part of our season and making it what it is. So thank you. It was so much fun. Thank you so much. Yes. Made me think. I'm tired. I need a drink.
It's a lot. We went through it. This is like the confessionals, like the therapy session, got it all out, but I think provided a lot of fun and clarity, hopefully, for the listeners to understand even more about this great season. So if you can believe it, I will see you on the next deep dive, everyone. Thank you for listening. Thank you again, Suntony. Thank you to Scott St. Pierre behind the scenes. We'll be back on the next deep dive. And until then, keep evolving. Bye.
Australian Survivor.
Survivor New Zealand.
Survivor.
Survivor. Survivor.
21 South Africans. 12 ordinary Australians.
16 New Zealanders.
Give them the swimmer.
£1 million.
Million euro.
Million.
Shkeli. Aldi. Million. Rubli.
Tribe spoke.
Scheibe top there.
Ship.
Tribe spoke.
The adventure of a lifetime.
Adventure of a lifetime.